right, it's an obligation.
It's 8:45 on the clock. We'll call to order the meeting of Board of Supervisors and we'll cite Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Tenants by observation, Jurgens, Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann. The consent agenda. One, general agenda. Two, approved minutes of meeting held September 16th, 2015. Approve all claims through September 30th, 2015, the amount of $570,581.32, except claim number 15100125 to R.L. Tiemann Construction in the amount of $38,314.96 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve receiving treasurer's list of delinquent taxes on parcels of real estate in the county which remained unsold for want of bidders and directing the county treasurer to issue county tax sales on the delinquent taxes. Approve verifying sheriff's distress warrant report. Approve Cortland Lancaster Rural Fire EMS extension agreement. Approve utility permit number 1032 Windstream, Nebraska, placing 220 feet of cable in new residence, plowing in 60 feet of cable and boring 160 feet of cable, 6 feet. Little culvert in the north edge of road in the northwest 4th of section 34 and southwest 4th of section 27, township 6 north, range 8 east, Adams Township. Approve utility permit number 1033 Windstream, Nebraska, replacing 310 feet of bad cable. We'll be trenching in 310 feet of cable 4 foot deep in the west shoulder of the road. In the southeast 4th of section 14, township 6 north, range 8 east, Adams Township. Approve utility permit number 1034 Windstream, Nebraska, replacing 680 feet of cable. We'll be boring 80 feet of cable 4 feet below the bottom of the ditches and trenching 600 feet of cable 4 feet deep in the south shoulder of the road, located in the northwest 4th of section 3 and northeast 4th of section 4, township 1 north, range 8 east, Liberty Township. Approve utility permit number 1035 Windstream, Nebraska, replacing 1,105 feet of cable in conflict with Gage County Culvert Project. Will bore 310 feet of cable 10 feet below flow line and plow in 790 feet of cable 4 feet deep, located in the northwest 4th, section 2, township 5 north, range 8 east, Hooker Township. Approve canceling check number 1509054 to Brian Physician Network in the amount of $245.23 due to insurance payment. Approve specification and call for bids on the 2015-2016 snow removal for the courthouse, sheriff jail, veterans office, and parking lots, bid to be opened October 14th at 9:15 a.m. Entertain a motion to approve.
I would move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Hill. Questions or comments? That we do, everybody did get a handout of the bid thing for the proposal for snow removal, so
we'll, Dave didn't change any specifications or anything.
Dave left everything the way it was. Okay.
We really thought it would be appropriate this year for the county board to do the snow removal, but we decided maybe we'd go ahead and bid it.
So. We'd probably have workman's comp claims if the county board did this, because you know, some of us.
You need a motion for Denny to do that?
For Denny, yeah, if you want to I'd entertain a motion for Denny to do that, or. Yeah. No. So
there are a lot of seconds on
that. Yeah. If not, no more comments. Vote 7-0 to approve an agenda. Regular agenda. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Seeing none, entertain a motion to approve or disapprove the claim number 15090236 to R.L. Tiemann Construction in the amount of $38,314.96. With this claim, the total claim audit amount will be $608.
Yes, let him know. That's a correction because I had that on there last time. Forgot to change my amount on that part. So
okay,
$38,000 he read is correct.
$38,000, but that's added in here to that amount we read earlier.
No.
And you come up with a $680.
It's separate.
See,
it's
because, separate. Yeah, you're passing this later on, so I have to actually add on this claim now if you pass it.
Right.
That'll be
before
the
total. We were 570, and now the new amount is $608,896.28.
And then if you pass the next claim down at the end of the meeting, it's going to be more than that.
Three more, yes.
I kind of like the 27,000 number versus the 38.
I did, too. Yeah. Actually, he said he didn't really care, so I told him he could deposit in my account, so...
I'll move to approve the 38,000 number.
Move to approve the 38,000 amount. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second. Motion by Lytle, second by Byers. And this is for, is this the last of the, no, we still have some more yet?
This is township.
Well, this is township now. This is township. So the counties.
That should be at least, I think that's all township, actually.
This is 38. So the amount of what you were hauling for the county, that's been all done then. Okay. This is township. Okay.
Myron?
Yeah.
Looking at that, I think at the time, hopefully there's been more done, but on the spring allocations, we've gone through 13 townships already, so...
15. We only have 9 left.
Was that what? How are we setting now, Gaina? Yeah, do you know?
We're down about 7.
Okay.
Now we are. Okay.
That's the thing by running out of multiple pits now. It's gone from sometime next year where we would have been done to.
We'll get it done here.
Be done lickety split.
Adequate time this fall.
As of last Friday, we had 9 townships to go.
9 townships
to go.
As of last Friday. So,
I mean, in the near future, we should hopefully have our spring allocation done and possibly, for the first time in recent memory, be able to start on some fall.
Fall in the fall.
Actually. Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Okay. A vote. 6-0 with Thiemann abstaining. Committee reports, building and grounds, winter lights.
Okay, well, we're working hard on this corner of the building out here. If anybody stopped to take a look at it, it's looking good, and you can really tell the difference as they've been going over the joints and the stones. And I've been trying to visit with them about every day that they're here, and was out and visited with them yesterday, and they're pleased with the way things are going and the way it looks, and Dave has been watching it real close. So I think it's all working the way we want it to. Very positive so far.
And Monday, somebody, then I'll give one more quick report on the probation. Dave was able to go down to the probation office, and the cords and stuff, what the safety committee had reported on or whatever, they didn't need other plug-ins. Apparently, a couple of the desks had plug-ins behind them nobody was aware of. So now they're using those. So, yeah. So Dave was able to handle that pretty good. So yeah, a cheap fix. So Dave was able to work out some things and stuff there. So Dave continues to amaze, I think, all of us.
Yes.
And don't know how fortunate we are to have him and
absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely.
So, no, he
had a good vacation, though. That was good. So he's all rested and ready to get back to work.
Yes. So, equalization
for our
committee.
Nothing.
Finance.
Just went through and discussed the claims that we were going to pay to Thiemann. And then we also had discussions about card services, and Don will talk about that. We also had a discussion regarding employee overtime at the extension office. So apparently it appears to be a need to review the credit card service and how things will change so that we're not creating interest fees and things like that, late fees. So, Dawn, you want to?
Well, the program that we've come up with, we've run into some issues with the current credit card that we have. Because it's just issued in Gage County, there's no Social Security number attached to it. So they will not give us information. They will not work with us on fees or something that gets processed later if we have questions on things. Gus also has the same card. They keep cutting back the number of cards, and now they're cutting back when they're going to stop issuing them because there's no personal Social Security number attached to it, which unless somebody wants to volunteer their Social Security number to be liable, I guess that'll go away. We come up with this... Our program that's NACO supported, there's a number of counties, and I asked I sent an email to the individual because he'd sent me a list once and I can't seem to locate it. There's a number of counties, 20, 30 counties that are on this, states on this. So it seems to be a viable product where we can manage daily. We can look at the charges. We can up the limit, lower the limit, terminate the card immediately if someone quits, reissue a card. So it's got a wide range of possibilities that I think it'll be a good fit, especially for the Sheriff's Department, because he has the need for the deputies when they have to travel. They may need a larger limit. If they are in town, they don't. So we can fluctuate that as a need.
And I think it's important to not drudge up things of the past, but recognize there was a history of credit card issues across the street, probably over a decade ago, and I think that it went right. But I think that when we start talking about that, that would be a legitimate concern from the public. So I think we just address that and throw that out there to put safeguards in place. We'll be watching things like that.
Yeah, and that's the other option for this card is it will be issued in the deputy's name as Gage County with the deputy's name. His Social Security number would be attached to just in the paperwork. Whoever has a card in their name is liable for those charges on that card. So they're responsible for getting their receipts, or they will be if they accept the responsibility to have a card. So that's another.
And the reason that what necessitates this isn't an overreaching desire to control everything that takes place by this board. It's an external force that's causing us to change the way we do business in order to continue to allow business to take place from a county standpoint. So it's a modification of a process.
Now, what was the interest rate on that program?
There isn't an interest rate. It's just going to be a late penalty if you don't get it paid. But they work, because they work strictly with governments, they know what our time frame is, so they're willing to work with us to get our payments.
And that's on the agenda for later, so we'll,
yes,
that's when we'll have discussion about that contract and talk more about it. Law enforcement, emergency management.
Tim gave us an update about Tim talked about.
Look for my page, too.
He had a Blue Valley Community Action meeting. Is visited with some extended care facilities regarding emergency preparedness plans. He noted that his EMPG amount was improved. That's the Emergency Management Performance Grant dollars were approved in the amount of just over $60,000. Working with some tabletop exercises regarding the extended care facilities. And then good thing we sicked Davey on the probation electrical outlet issue. And then there was a meeting regarding pipeline safety. Yeah, and that was basically kind of Tim's report.
And I'll just on law enforcement, and maybe Brian could update us on this. You were planning on to October 7th close an hour early to have a safety training.
We have a safety committee that meets with all the offices, and in our last committee meeting, we discussed continual training, quarterly training. And so we would like to block off a time that we can close the courthouse and do exercises or, you know, that type of training. We proposed two dates in October. One was October 7th and one was October 14th. And those dates were chosen because there's no court on those days. However, going to each office, it appears October 14th catches more employees than October 7th. So we'd like to close the courthouse between 4 and 5 o'clock on October the 14th to do that particular training. And then do it every quarter. So that would mean January. Now, the next quarter would be April, but we like to do a training on the tornado or the severe weather, the statewide severe weather. We'd like to practice on that particular day. And then July and October. And those dates need to be flexible depending on what's going on in court, what's going on in the clerk's office, you know, just sometimes they're too busy to make those dates. So yes, we would ask that the courthouse be closed from 4 to 5 on October 14th to conduct
that
training.
As much as anything, that's so that we can get this information out to the public so that the public's aware of it. There will be signs posted on the courthouse, but also just if Scott and Doug, you guys could just put that information out there too so that people know that one date for now, October 14th, courthouse will be closing at 4 o'clock for safety training. What? No, the employees are not leaving. The employees will still be here. They're supposed to be employees here. And this is only for the courthouse. This isn't for the other county offices. In other words, the extension office and the highway, well, the highway department a lot of times leaves at 3:30, but it's not for down there. But it's just for the courthouse so that we can have the safety training. And I know this is something that Gary's really commented a lot about, that we needed this and we need this training. And kind of glad to see maybe it taking place for once.
We have done, during severe weather work, we did a tornado training. We did a fire drill a couple months ago. And so we're just kind of working through that little flip chart on each of these things. First one will be kind of a walkthrough, and then we'll, you know, up it a little bit as we go through. So, any other questions? No? Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Not to mention our NERMA representative, Terry
Baxter,
was also one that was very high on doing these procedures also.
Yeah, so.
Not just my pet project.
No, I know.
We've been pushing it hard across the state to get as many counties as we can to learn how to do this. So.
And the other thing is the canine program, and we'll have a discussion on that a little later. I think that's on the agenda, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Right after the report.
Yeah, okay. We'll have that in a little bit. So, anything else, Terry?
Well, first off, we had a discussion on the pumpkins we were growing, and I'll have a final report on that in 2 weeks. We had a letter sent to us from the NDOR saying that our match or what they give us back was going to move from 80 to 90% on March 16th.
March of 2016, yeah.
March of 16. Oh, okay. Okay.
March of 2016, not March 16th. March of 2016, yeah.
Okay, and the amounts that Gage County will receive would be $148,789 for the bridge part of it and $159,718 for the STP part of it. So that increases a little bit. We had a... Matt had a call from Josh Niles, Claytonia Fire Department, would like to park vehicles on the south side of the county barn during meetings. We all agreed, no problem with that. Townships, we discussed where we're at with that. Had a discussion on the tentative agreement with Constructors Incorporated. Roger's been working on that with their company, and hopefully we'll have a resolve on that issue. Again, had discussion on TP Road. And last but not least, we really didn't discuss this. It's something I want to bring up again. I know Eric agrees with me. I've had a few people that have stopped in and visited that have, you see it more often than not, triple axle trailers. They're legal according to our weight limits we have posted right now, but they're over the limit on the 80,000 pound. And it's probably my contention here that I made a mistake when we did this, set that 80,000 pound limit, because you're going on a triple axle from 34,000. A tandem axle from 34,000 pounds, GVW on those two. When you run triples, you can go to 43.5. And it's my contention those triples probably do less damage than the tandems. But that evened out weight on the roads. When we set those limits, we wanted to wait and see what condition our roads would be in come fall. Harvest is here. We'll run through harvest yet, I figured, and see where all the roads are condition-wise, and then maybe take a good look at this as far as the triple axle part of it and the limit part of it. I mean, I'm not contending that we raise the allow that overload permit the state allows. I'm not contending that, but I think we ought to look at this hard about these triple axles, be able to create that limit, increase that limit on those type of trailers. So that's about it, Aaron.
But you're looking at maybe having that discussion over the winter here.
Yeah, I think we should finish harvest and see what condition our roads are in. That's kind of the goal we had when we posted these. All the signs that are out there are basically correct as far as the limits that's on them. The only thing that probably should have been looked at a little closer was the bottom line that said gross 80,000 total, not over that amount. And like I say, that extra that could be carried on a triple axle trailer is doing less damage than all of them put together, if you ask me. So that's just something we'd like to look at, I think, and review.
I had one. I was at the highway department dropping some stuff off, visiting with someone. Another highway, another road employee came up and asked about review-based raises. I didn't know if that's something. I said I'd bring it up to you guys, see what you thought. Instead of just a flat raise, they want a review-based raise. Now, I don't know if that would work in his favor, but it is an idea. I said I'd bring it up and at least throw it out there. So I said I don't think that's ever been done that I know of, but it could be done.
Did you ever do that in the highway department at one time, Galen? A review based raises? No, it's always been.
You're referring to a merit raise?
Yes.
If you don't have an objective system in place, you open up the door for subjectivity and for someone to file a claim of being treated differently. I think they're generally in the workforce, you'll have people that probably outperform others, but unless you can quantify that in a system.
It's a scary thing on the public side. That's what I said. I don't know how you do that. I suppose you could have, you'd have to have specific steps, specific benchmarks.
In the step plan that we have for the courthouse, we tried to give credit for certifications, years of service, things like that, so that if someone is is reaching these hallmarks, you can reward, if you will, or give credit for those things. But it becomes very subjective, and I think that there are some employees, I think any employer would say probably outperform others on a day-to-day basis or a weekly basis or whatever, but what happens if someone gets that and then they decide to slack off? Are we going to put a system in place to take away?
Well, that was a place where I thought we could save some money. If No, I didn't know how that would work. I said I would bring it up at least. But I didn't know if that was really realistic or not. It's a great idea. It's great in theory.
Yeah, I agree.
I just don't know in practice if it's realistic.
The idea is very good, but it'd be very tough to do and be objective about it and have the employees feel that you were objective in doing it or, for Galen to do it.
If need be, we can, committee meeting, we can discuss it a little more. But right now, yeah, I'm kind of in contention of Matt also that it's very subjective, and it'd be more on something that Galen or somebody with him would have to be doing down there, because our board wouldn't be qualified to do anything like that and stuff. So that's something we'd have to have a discussion with Galen to see if that would even be an interest, which, I don't know.
Well, we kind of have a system in place like that. If you think of it from a performance standpoint, if someone is not performing, their wage could stay flat and everybody else could move. If the supervisor decides that you know, you underperformed, you could actually hold them flat. And so then those who are performing and meeting those, what you believe or where they need to be, and there aren't performance issues or anything like that. So I guess if it's administered in the appropriate manner, people who are underperforming should not move through the wage scale.
Forgot human resources, Don. Nothing.
Okay.
Byron.
Okay. I just wanted to make one comment on Terry's review. I guess that going back to the triple axle trailers, I think at this point I agree with Terry that, you know, we wait till harvest is done and discuss it. But I would also say that if DOT would happen to start harassing some of our farmers and ag producers, I think it would be something we'd need to take up sooner than later, because it is going to be traveled. Whether it's posted one way or another, it's traveled. Them triple axles are on there. They're all on the hit pavement, which we'd rather have them on the pavement than hanging in the air with all that weight on them. And I agree with Terry completely that, you know, we're probably better off letting that triple axle run down the highway with the...
And that's what they look for, too. They look for that triple axle trailer on that posted road. And they probably figure it's going to be loaded accordingly, what the trailer could haul legally, you know. But then they're going to get you for over the 80,000 limit. And I've had two complaints that exact thing happened on it. So,
And I agree that the triple axles can carry more weight and not damage the blacktops. We've got some blacktops that ain't up to the weight, though. And one of them that they take... from the rock quarry, some of the trucks will haul, you know, down through Holmesville, and then they go on the west side of the river and go down the county or the township gravel road to Blue Springs, get back on Highway 77 because of the lower weight limit going south. But that road's not ready for any extra weight at this point in time, or I don't think so. I mean, I'd like to have a good opinion on it, but we've done quite a bit of patching, but we'll do a lot of patching on it next year.
Myron?
Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
Eric?
Maybe that's one of those things that the sheriff could talk to the highway patrol about, not harassing the people here in the county or trying to work and get stuff done.
I'll do their job, not harass them.
Eat the food.
Myron?
Terry?
Yeah.
We have the expert here. Maybe we ought to have him just take a few minutes and give us his opinion on what we're talking about. Mark?
What are we talking about, the axles?
Triple axles.
Load limits, where
Mark,
we're setting.
Yeah, we need you up here, Mike.
Expert who? Qualified. Counselor.
Hey, Del.
He's more than 100 miles from Omaha.
I could bring some information in showing those axle studies. It's going to be different on paved concrete pavement and the panels than it will be for asphalt. So you got to keep that in mind, because when you load up those panels with more weight, we design differently the concrete versus the asphalt. But if the axles are spaced accordingly, I mean, the pavement doesn't, it has time to reflect, to rebound. If the axles are far enough apart, then it doesn't know if it's one axle or, but when you get the axles are too close, then you get that indentation, that overlap of.
That'd be the advantage of a spread axle in. That would be better.
Yeah.
You think? Yeah.
So, you know, I can pull some stuff together so you guys can graphically see how those influences go. I mean, it makes sense. You put everything so close together, everything overlaps. That prism, that cone of influence overlaps each other, and if it's far enough out, it doesn't. So,
okay.
That'd be good if you could get them to Galen or something, and then
yeah,
we'll
start. I'll
yeah,
I'll.
That'd be real
yep,
good.
Yep.
Nice. One last comment. Gus does make a good point. It isn't harassment. They are doing their job. And if that's the way we've got it marked, then they are doing their job. But I guess that's my point is if we've got something out there that's creating that issue, then
it's posted that way, so they're just doing what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
I got that.
We could just leave people alone, let them be. And
yep.
Any more comments? If not, we have discussion on Gage County creating a K-9 unit next up on the agenda. So, Gus and
Byron.
Hello, my name is Deputy Bevensey. I've been selected to be the canine handler for the sheriff's office. I talked to the board a couple days ago during the law enforcement committee meeting, and I gave out a presentation. I believe I set one on everybody's desk. I'll just kind of give you a brief rundown. I won't do the whole presentation, just so the rest of the board's caught up. We decided to do a canine reboot mainly to combat the growing amount of drug activity happening in Gage County. I know the Beatrice Police Department's already looking for another dog, but we feel having two dogs in the county is going to really help, and it's also going to cut down on cost. And the reason I say that is, since me and Officer Chisano work opposite shifts, there's going to be a lot less call-out times on both of our part. Therefore, we cut down on a lot of overtime, and then we also cut down on a lot of training costs. Since the dog has to be trained 8 hours twice a month, a lot of that training can be conducted with Officer Chisano and myself, and we wouldn't have to go search out of county. We feel that the canine program is going to be highly utilized, especially in Gage County. The reason we're looking for a dual certified dog, as Beatrice is only going to get a single purpose dog. A dual certification dog will be able to do narcotics detection and also be able to be patrol certified, which means if need be, chase and bite or search and rescue or building searches, which is going to definitely increase our officer safety. If we don't have to send deputies or police officers in a building, we can just send a dog in, and that's going to be huge on officer safety issues. Also,
send the dog in by itself without an officer?
Correct.
Without you?
Yep. If we had a building that was occupied by somebody who wanted to barricade themselves in or something like that, in that nature, we would give fair warning that we were going to send a canine in. And at that point, it's more beneficial for the dog to go in and for the dog to get hurt than it is for a deputy to go in and possibly a deputy get shot. So that's kind of why we send the dog in first.
I understand that, but it hurts me to think of sending the animal in to get hurt.
Right. That's just one of the practices of being a canine handler. It's an unfortunate risk that you have to take. I guess the point of view or look on it is, although it is an animal and it's a loved one and we treat it as a deputy itself, it's more beneficial for, or not beneficial, I guess is the wrong word, but more practical for the dog to potentially get injured than it is to send in an actual deputy human life and get injured. Also, the dog can move quicker, it has more agility, and it can get in faster and potentially take out the threat faster than it would be for another deputy too.
I gotta think about that one, but thank you very much.
You're welcome. Another thing that was a big concern on having two dogs was the recent case law, State versus Rodriguez. Having a canine unit available, readily available, is going to be huge on a lot of case law and potential drug assists that we have and vehicle searches. I talked a lot about different costs that it's going to cost to start up a canine unit. It is rather pricey for the initial startup cost, but once you go into an annual cost, it's pretty minimal, especially with fundraising that you can do every year. The vehicle cost is going to be a kind of a one-time purchase. Normally, you buy a specific vehicle for a canine unit, but since the sheriff's office already has three pickups that we could utilize, we'd use one of those pickups and then outfit it. Generally, an outfitted cost for a canine door popper is around $549. The insert is around $1,600. A 12-inch door fan is around $225. And a canine heat alert during the summer is around $400. The biggest cost right there is the $1,600. If we can find somebody within the county to donate their time and materials, which I feel like we could do, they could probably design a cage and build it for us for minimal or free of cost. Also, what we have to buy is the door pop, the fan, and then the heat detection system. And we're going to try to get all that through fundraising. Other purchases, the dog itself, I actually talked to Pam Rogers. She's the head person at Kassenberg K9. I talked to her this morning, actually, to see what kind of dog she would have available around the March timeframe. She's going to actually head to Germany around January, and she's willing to hand select a dog for us, which she's saying the cost for that is around $8,000 to $9,500. And the sheriff and also a few other people have expressed different agencies and different programs that have dogs. I talked to Buck Dews, who's the head academy instructor for the State Patrol, who he'd be the one giving me my certification. I called him about these other dogs, and he highly disencouraged trying to go through a dog that's already certified or getting a cheaper dog. He highly, highly recommends Pam Rogers. He just says that she does an all-around good job of picking the dogs. So we'll continue to explore other options to see if we can't get a good dog. He's not saying he wouldn't train one, but go ahead.
I still hold out that option that I have a well-used St. Bernard.
He did a good job with your pumpkins.
Yeah, he didn't guard your pumpkins enough, huh?
Yeah. Was he guarding your pumpkins? Is that the
pumpkins? No wonder you want to get rid of him.
Probably why he's available, right?
He's the one protecting your pumpkins, wasn't he?
After that pumpkin incident, that dog's gone.
Buck did say he would train those other dogs. He just highly disencourages it. He says they're harder to train. We talked about payment to the handler. The FLSA states that a canine handler has to be paid and compensated for its time off duty with the dog. I talked about a couple different ways we can bat this, and I kind of broke it down like this. It's like military leave. It has to be offered to the employee, but it doesn't have to be taken by the employee. A lot of my time I'm just going to donate and not request overtime for to cut down on costs. I think it's more beneficial to have a well-trained dog and put the time into it. That way it does its job than to worry about if I'm getting paid an extra $20 for a call-out that's 15 minutes. We talked about different needs that the dog's going to need, such as leashes, bowls, ballistic Kevlar vest, which is another thing that we can add on to the dog. It is a substantial cost, but it's a necessary cost. It's ballistic armament for the dog. That way, when we do send it in, there's a definitely decrease that it will get shot in a vital organ. We talked about food cost, which is the biggest annual cost. But I've already talked to the Purina plant in Crete, and they're willing to donate all our food free of cost. They donate for Douglas County, Lancaster County, and Jefferson, and a few different counties. And we also talked about the dog kennel. The sheriff's office still has our one from our previous canine that we'd be utilizing, and we'd cut down on a lot of those costs and use a lot of donations as well. Annual cost, if we can't find a vet, and let's say Purina didn't sponsor us, we're looking around $2,500 a year. But hopefully, after this board meeting, I'm going to start talking to a lot of the vets, seeing if we can't get a vet to donate their facilities or possible services. If not, I'll be talking to the Humane Society. The sheriff informed me that our last canine we had, they covered our vet cost for us because of our donations to their agency. So hopefully we'll be cutting down the costs on that. The kind of last slide I had on that presentation was an overall breakdown of vehicles. The dog itself, training, wages, room and board. Going to the Canine Academy, it's 11 to 16 weeks long, depending on how fast the dog can train. Once you're certified in that, it can be even shorter than that. But the state pays for the tuition. Only thing the county would be liable is my wages and room and board. Talking to Fairbury deputy, his sheriff indicated that his room and board was less than $5,000, but was paid for all through their donations and their fundraising. The only thing the county paid for their entire program was a handler payment, this salary. Other needs that we need is around $1,500. Again, we're going to be using a lot of fundraising and donations to mitigate a lot of these costs. The total cost of starting up a canine program is around $28,000 to $35,000, depending on what you're going to purchase and the items you're going to purchase. My belief is, knowing the people of the county and how bad the people of the county want you know, these drugs off the street and these criminals off the street, I can bet the whole thing will be donated. I don't see any problem not raising that money. Also, we're not on a time restraint by any means. The canine academies are posted throughout the year and depend on how many slots. The next one where they're potential looking at is around the March time frame, so we have plenty of time to raise the funds. The only thing the county would have to normally pay is my payroll, which some extra overtime would be for call-outs, but again, through annual fundraisings and demonstrations, I believe we could have a large amount in reserve in our canine fund that could pay for a lot of my overtime costs. We're really excited to get the program up and running, and hopefully we can get it up and running as soon as we can. That way,
Eric? I always echo the same thing. Don't call us, we'll call you. Always advocate leaving people alone instead of bothering them. But this is one of those things. We have drugs that get into kids' hands. Just last night, I was in the industrial park, and a local police cruiser just went flying by, and the Jefferson County canine unit was right behind it. Well, you know, you have a pretty good idea what they're going to look for. Like you had told us Monday, searches through schools, I mean, anything we can do to get the drugs away from kids, that's a major problem. And I've also seen the canines go through buildings, and that is amazing. Instead of sending our deputies and people through those buildings, putting them in harm's way, even though it is potentially dangerous for that animal, it's great to use that animal as a tool instead of putting our two-legged deputies in harm's way.
Absolutely.
So I'm excited about this. I think that's going to be a great tool for you guys.
How are you setting up the fundraising effort? I read in the paper about fundraising, and I hear you talk about fundraising, but I don't see what you're doing as far as how are you organizing this and how are you appealing to the community and giving them an opportunity to give, and what are you setting up? I don't know that we have anything set up in the Sheriff's Department as far as a foundation or something relative to the fundraising.
We're just in the beginning stages. We have a lot of different ideas. One main idea is my father's the regional manager for Swan's Ice Cream out west, and they are willing to do a huge fundraiser for us where they give customers a promo code that they put in online, and we get 25% of their purchase for 52 weeks. So that would collect into a large fund. We would set up a separate account for the canine program at the sheriff's office, where we would take all our checks and donations. We'd post ads through social media, through Facebook, on to the news, through the paper, and Beatrice and Wymore, getting the word out that we need to start this program, the benefits of this program, and that we need donations because of the large amount of costs. I've already placed an ad on my social network there's a large group of us that I went to the academy with, that we all have a Facebook page together, and I posted on there, and a lot of agencies have already contacted me saying they're willing to donate equipment and anything we need. Other fundraiser ideas is, you know, there's always like pancake things, ice cream social, stuff like that. And of course, anytime a town has an event, we could go to that event, have a poster board or some type of visual aid, and then a donations jar or a place where they can make the checks out to, where that's how we'd start fundraising. The idea of the canine came about just a few weeks ago, and you know, we wanted to obviously present it to the board and have you guys on board, that way we could start fundraising.
So basically I'm hearing you would be in charge of the fundraising.
Yes, sir. And a lot of it would be donated off my personal time. I'd work my regular road shift, and then on my days off, I'd go out into the county and seek fundraising ideas.
And the question would be to set it up so that those people who make donations would have a tax deduction also relative to this issue. So you might want to think about it and maybe get some advice on some professionals who have done this. So.
Absolutely.
We appreciate your father doing that with Schwann's. My wife will be very happy.
And the thing with the Swans, too, which is also huge, it's not just this region. This could be nationwide. My father's out west in Cozad, so he's going to tell his route guys that to promote this, saying if you put in this promotion code, somewhere in the state, a canine's going to be donated. And so that's how he's going to promote it out west. That way it gets people on board, especially with the law enforcement. And then the regional guys in this area are going to promote. And then, of course, any family members, and if they want to send it out, all they have to do is put in the promo code online, order from any SWANS representative and throughout the U.S. or overseas, and it can be donated to our fund. So it can turn out to be a huge, as long as we get the word out there, and we're going to try to promote it as much as possible.
Thank you again too for your time commitment here. This is a huge commitment to the program and to the county both. So we really do appreciate that.
As Sheriff stated, I don't have a life, so hopefully this will be my life. I do have a son, so I guess I shouldn't say I don't completely have a life. The only time the dog wouldn't be available for call-outs, of course, when I'm on military leave. I'm a member of the National Guard still. But the majority of the time, he'll be available, and we're willing to work whenever. So,
Gary?
Colton, this is more directed to Gus than it is you, and I truly appreciate what you're doing, because I think the canine unit is a big advantage to the community. My question and my concern, Gus, is that I remember in the past that, you know, we've had canine units, and it's the system seems to work fine. The money's always been there. The donations have always been there for this program. And then, say, Colton's going to go. He's going to leave or military leave. What are we going to do? Do we have a backup officer that's willing to take the same training and be prepared to take this over? Colton maybe decides to go somewhere else to be employed. All of a sudden, poof, the canine unit's gone.
I would doubt we'd find somebody that would have that desire, because it's just about as long as our basic law enforcement certification, about 11 or 12 weeks, I think, now. I don't know of a lot of places that do that. I know a couple of agencies have more than one dog, but you have to have a certain mix of a person like Colton's going to do that, because, as you know, it's a lifestyle is what it is. Mm-hmm. And so I don't see that happening. So, like, when they're off, I happen to know a kennel that will probably board relatively cheap. So I have in there. But this is what we've done before anyway in the past. But that is one of the downfalls. The one thing that's good is we have three dogs in Oval County that they've been offered to us anytime we want. Jefferson County has one. Saline County's got one. So we have plenty of dogs around. And Beatrice, of course, will have theirs. So I other than having the time down with our dog when he's gone, we'll always have someone available. I mean, so.
Well, and like I said, the other concern I have is that Colton decides to be employed somewhere else and he's gone, then the canine unit goes away again. And that's my big concern, because I think it is a distinct advantage to you to have it. Yeah. It's just the fact that it goes away. I mean, the money and the support's there for it. It always has been.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, when we don't have the officers that are willing to do it, it goes away.
And every once in a while I'll get an email that somebody's had that happen. Somebody's retired or moved on, whatever, or got married, had kids, whatever. And they'll, a lot of times, just nobody's interested. They'll just put the dog out for sale. It's unfortunate. It just happens. Larger agencies, not as bad, but when you're down medium size, smaller, then it's, And that's what we
I'm with you, Gary. I think maybe we need to look at some way within the department of a backup, because, I mean, you talk about this, no, they just put the dog up for sale. Well, you've invested all these thousands and thousands of dollars, even if they're contributed. And I think we need to build a backup program of some sort. I can't imagine that you wouldn't do that.
Well, a lot of places I know have them sign on a little bit longer on a contract sometimes when you put that kind of time into it. And, of course, as good as the paper's wrote on sometimes. But it is certainly something a guy can throw out there. I just haven't really had anybody. We've done this sooner, but we haven't had anybody that's had an interest, desire to do that until Colton got on board. And I made him wait a year, and the year's here and passed already. So he's been on me about it, so we're gonna gear it up and get him. Through attrition, we'll have new people come in. We might find somebody that's willing to be a second handler. I don't know how that really works on one dog.
Well, it is difficult, too, because it really is a team.
Yeah.
He goes with the dog goes with him. And there's a lot of, when we get into court, there's a lot of issues come up about whether the trainer, or excuse me, the deputy is doing something to trigger the dog. And we have to keep catalogs about when he was successful, when he wasn't successful, because it isn't 100%. And when you mix another individual in there, I don't know if you're going to have enough time to justify. And again, it's a good idea, but I'm just saying that's going to be kind of tough with the one dog. He's going to be going all the time.
Easier said than done.
Yeah. Well, and again, it's not their fault or anything. It's the standards that the courts put on these animals.
Kind of address one
their
of the
performance.
One of the concerns you said, me seeking outside employment or leaving the sheriff's office. I guess I'm a pretty loyal guy. I mean, they pay for my certification. I feel it would be cheating them and the agency, especially if they gave me this great opportunity to become a canine handler, to leave the agency. Gage County, although I'm not originally from here, I've made it my home. And this is where I want to stay and potentially retire at. So as long as I have the dog, I can promise you that I'm going to be in the county. And if we have a second person who comes in, you know, it is difficult for another person to take over the canine. That's why there's such a unique bond between a handler and his canine. And so it's hard to do. That's why you know, we have other offers or people wanting to donate a dog to us that's already certified. And that's because of what happened. The officer left to go to a different agency, or he retired, and then you still have a fully certified dog, but it's not going to work as well with that handler. That's why, you know, I'm kind of stressing huge on we got to buy a dog, and then me and that dog grow together. And that the only kind of potential loss we could have is the potential of me having an active deployment.
And then I was going to say, what is your duty within the guard? What's your?
Right now, I'm a motor transportation operator. My drill status is we drill 1 week in a month, 2 weeks in the summer. We are not on any active or standby orders right now. We are reorganizing into a combat infantry unit, though. So I don't know if once that reorg happens, which is within the potential next 2 years, that.
You're in this outfit?
I'm in the 1195th York Transportation Battalion. So that's where I am now. Right now, the state's going through a giant reorganization, moving our strength and power from more of a support battalion to more of a combat battalion. So that's why we're kind of going through a giant reorganization through all the units. We just got word that we have to be reclassing to infantry not too long ago. So
that's where we used to be, and went somewhere else, and now we're going back.
Yep, and it's going to be an interesting transition for sure. You know, potential deployments, that's not deployments, the way they're scheduled now is 9 months in country plus a few of pre-mobilization. So my total time from the sheriff's office, unless something tragic happened, would be for 12 months. The dog, it's still good. I'd have to come back and get it recertified once my return, but I'd still be handled. We just have to go through a recert process. And my certification in law enforcement would still hold valid. I just have to continue taking online courses to keep my certification, as long as Gage County keeps me employed while I'm deployed.
Well, I think it's a tremendous program, and I agree. I want to thank you very much for what you're willing to give personally to this program. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
No, thank you, and I think we're glad to have this back in the county. I think it's going to be very beneficial for the
about time, yeah.
Law enforcement. And thank you very much, like I said before, for your time and your commitment for this, because that's quite a challenge.
I'm glad to do it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you need any advice, we've got experts in the room who really know most about everything there is to know about. Everything.
I'll have to make a note of that. Thank you.
Okay, do that, do that.
Next, we have on the agenda Sandy Morrissey, with the Director for the Regional Prevention Coordination, going to be sharing information regarding funding and development of the prevention system within Region 5.
Thank you.
the pictures in here so I know what I'm doing.
No motion or nothing, just...
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
As you know, I come every summer, give you an update on what we're doing regionally, southeast Nebraska, with our prevention federal block grant funds. So in front of you, you have two sheets, and the chart would show you that for Gage County this year, they are receiving $16,475. Each year is a new year with federal block grant funds, and so they completed basically an update on previous application and apply for strategies that they're wanting, and then dollars are allocated accordingly. So each year is a new year. They can apply for more. We set aside about $24,000 for mini grants, and that allows them, if mid-year they say, boy, we've got another thing we'd like to invest in, it's an opportunity for that. And then we have about $20,000 in state training funds. So we also use that with the coalitions. The other piece you have in front of you, every 2 years we do the Nebraska Risk and Protective Factor Student Survey. This is a combined survey with the Center on Disease Control, the Youth Risk Survey is completed, and the tobacco survey. They choose the schools and the classroom. All other kids, 8th, 10th, and 12th graders, get to do the Nebraska Risk and Protective Factor Student Survey. We have done this since 2003, so we do have some longitudinal data that we use. The data is significant because that's what drives local strategies. So this is the piece I'm referring to in front of you. And I want to take a minute, go through it, and then Christina's going to jump in terms of locally what's happening. But within our region, we are seeing, and you'll see a comparison, and I guess I want to let you know, the sixth graders, our state epidemiological work group, identified that really the way they were answering questions, the data was so ambiguous. They couldn't really tell if the kids even understood the survey questions. So they, we took a year, I believe it was in 2007, and we had the kids just do a shorter survey compared to the 8th and 12th graders. And again, it was very ambiguous. So they've said it's too much for that age range. So we've just now gone to the 8th, 10th, and 12th grade. You can see the 2010, 12, and 14 comparison. But I also want you to see the local compared to the regional and the state. We have within our region really done a good job in terms of decreasing alcohol use and binge drinking. However, we are seeing an increase in Beatrice, Gage County at large. We don't know what that means. I look at the data as good information. We'll work closely with Engage in terms of addressing what strategies have you been using that may be effective in other counties, but maybe not here. We'll look at that as well as the binge drinking. You are increasing, too, in tobacco and marijuana. We're seeing, and our work with law enforcement has clearly indicated, when we start working on reducing one substance, which alcohol we have, underage drinking, we're seeing that regionally as well as statewide, a decrease. We'll see other drugs increase. So we are seeing an increase in the marijuana. However, if you look within Gage County, it's fairly significant in terms of the increase with marijuana. When we start working on our strategies, we look at what are the indicators? What are the contributing risk factors? And I will tell you, you know, when I was charged in 2002 with the federal dollars, we knew that we were going to start with underage drinking. But it has grown. It's underage drinking, contributing risk factors. We're seeing a lot more mental health issues among our young people. Christina's done a great job taking the lead, too, with I'm now trained in youth mental health first aid, adult mental health first aid, QPR, question, persuade, refer, due to our suicide risks among our young people, as well as adults. Christina's brought that. She's trained, too. With QPR, and she's brought that into Gage County. She's one of five trainers we have in our region, and we'll continue to build that capacity. I'd like it in every county because we're hearing, whether it's school psychologists, social workers, emergency rooms, law enforcement, the mental health issues continue to rise. With youth, I would say the top two would be anxiety and depression. Part of our work is really saying, what are the protective factors within the home as well as the school? Are the kids getting enough sleep? That's like the second leading contributing factor to depression with kids, not getting enough sleep at night. Reducing caffeine, the power drinks. So there's some simple things that we can do in terms of strategically working with other stakeholders in the community that can help address those issues. So maybe it's public health. Maybe it's the school dietary. You know, we can take a look at those. But our suicide rates continue to climb with our youth. I don't know if you know this. Nationally, we are, our state of Nebraska is 42nd in the nation in terms of the lowest rate of suicides. We are top 10 in the nation when it comes to youth suicides. So dollars have come into Nebraska. Each region, remember there's six of us in Nebraska, is receiving about $63,000 out of it. It's a significant grant, but our policy center's involved. They're doing a lot of the evaluation piece. We have interfaith ministries involved. DHHS is involved. Kind of going around the table. And then the regions. So this first year with those 63,000, it was really setting up who do we need to train, what do we need to bring in, how do we begin to educate our communities. So we don't want, our goal with it is zero tolerance for suicide. And we have got to make it clear to our kids it's not even an option. Suicide is not an option. And the mental health concerns, the kids will talk to you about it if you were to ask them. Whether it's the drugs contributing, loved hearing about the canine, that can be an effective strategy. Actually, youth even like getting involved in terms of meeting that law enforcement. But if they were to know in the schools there may be random checks, the kids aren't going to know when that's going to happen, even if they can only afford law enforcement one or two times a year, right? The kids don't know when that's coming. They can do parking lot as well as school. So we're going to work closely, look at strategies that we need to bring in. There is concern, I have no doubt, with working on strategies that are effective and then adding to those that we'll see a decrease. But I know Beatrice has had their share of suicide incidents. And so we're looking, I want you to know, we're looking at that bigger picture. We'll work with, you know, any information from legal, any information from law enforcement, hospitals. We'll gather local data and then look at data we collected through the Nebraska RISC. But we'll make sure community sees this. We need more people on board. We need parents engaged and active and taking this serious because it's really throughout our region we're doing pretty good with the alcohol piece. Marijuana is creeping up a little, but engage, we're seeing a real spike. So we're on top of it, but don't be surprised if, with some of your leadership, if there's times you get a call and we say, hey, we could use your help or your leadership, even just with comments to community or whatever, because we've got to get these numbers down. Any comments or questions?
I just saw a report that was released yesterday that our suicides were up this last year over the year before in the state of Nebraska.
Yeah.
And I do think, and I know you at Region 5 are working really hard, and you are too, to expose our issues and what we can do as families.
Yes.
Because this comes down to a family situation of the exposure of so many of these young people and what we can do as other members of the community to help these families understand and come together to help. So what you do is wonderful.
Right. Within Region 5, we have what's called a loss team, loved ones surviving suicide, and that loss team, the directors, are really working statewide to make sure within each region there will be a loss team. But what they're finding is, and it's a national movement, the loss team is, families or significant others actually get involved, and how they would get involved is at the time of a suicide completion, law enforcement asks the family or a significant other, can we bring in a lost team member? And it is someone who's lost someone before. They can talk to you. The research is showing if they are willing to meet with the lost team and willing to go to a meeting, they're getting some mental health counseling support within 39 days after the completion of the suicide. Those that aren't getting involved with loss, it's anywhere from 4 to 8 years before they're willing to deal with the grief, because it would be unbelievably painful. So there's real intent and strategic planning with how we're going to address those issues. And so even a couple lost team members I met, there's a mother who said her son had completed suicide. And we don't want anyone to commit to it, so we're even taking that word out of the language. We aren't talking about committed suicide. We're talking about completion of the act, just a piece we're using with community now. But she made her daughter, who was a couple years younger than her 16-year-old brother, start with loss. And the little girl was furious, and now she talks about it. Says, I don't know what I would have done. She sat there, wouldn't talk in the group, but she was taking it in. And she was helping her to internalize, know her feelings were normal, that kind of thing. So that made a difference for me, too, in terms of it's for youth or adult.
They've also found with the loss teams that the area suicide rate decreases dramatically with the loss team just being in place, just being available. And so we have talked about it a couple of different times here in Gage County, and just need a couple of our community members who've had training, including myself, and so we just need to work at it a little harder in my spare time.
And so locally, anything else you wanted?
So locally, I handed out this sheet. I wanted to let you know where our grant allocation, where that $16,475 was being spent. And you'll see there that a lot of those strategies are also listed on the back page of your risk needs protective vector survey. They have strategic planning framework. We use a lot of those environmental strategies. We continue to work in our community justice group with the strategies, especially marijuana, as you said, had went up dramatically. And from what I understand from law enforcement, is going up dramatically everywhere because of our neighboring states and just the mindset that marijuana is safe. And if it's legal there, then why shouldn't it be safe here? We also, 2 weeks ago when I was here, I talked to you about the RAP group, the Wellness Recovery and Action Plan, that we're using some of our Crime Commission money for to get started. And that will help with the mental health needs in our community. And so we're working on it, and we have several mini grants that are not reflected on this piece of paper, but we most always write for a mini grant. And our last mini grant was to fund that trailer that you see in the Beatrice Public Schools parking lot, in the administration parking lot. We used that portable trailer, bought it, and used some of the funds to put some media on it that the kids developed in their last action group. So
hopefully with the data and when it's put out to community, there'll be some strategic planning and leadership to assist Christina. I know she wears a couple hats in the more than a couple in the community. So we really do want to increase capacity, build on that leadership. But I will also tell you, if that group is pulled together and they look at how the dollars, what she submitted, you have the opportunity. If you want to change up those funds, it's simply her submitting that to me. So you have some flexibility with those funds in terms of where you direct those dollars. And then one more thing, on our Youth Action Board, Taylor Vanover was again chosen from Gage County. She's a sharp young gal. She's been very active. She's assumed a lot of leadership on the board, our regional governing board, including Denny. They have allowed our kids to, if there's any youth that apply for the mini-grants, and that may be, too, I don't know, law enforcement is still here. If there's Gage County kids that think the canine thing is wonderful, it's seed funding. They couldn't use it every year to help support, but they could sure apply for to get some funds to help with startup. And anyway, our kids get to see, the board gets to oversee any youth that apply for the mini-grants. And they take it very seriously. I mean, they're aware it's federal dollars. They do their own research when the kids submit the applications. They're asking very good questions. So I think we're really building on leadership among our youth, and they bring that back to their local drug-free youth groups. So we appreciate Taylor's work and move forward.
Taylor came to our last community justice meeting in September, and we'll have another one. We usually meet once a month, and if any of you are interested in coming to that, we meet at the Beatrice Police Department. And just let me know if you're interested, and I'll put you on our email list.
Any questions for us?
Well, thank you very much for the work you do, and our youth is very important. Very, very important. So thank you very much. And thank you, Christina, for another report. So.
Thanks, Sandy. Yep. Thanks, Christina.
Do we need
no. Information.
Next on the agenda, we have discuss and approve or disapprove specification call for bids on Hickory Road Project N-13 and 14, Blakely, N-17 and 18, Midland Grading, replacing structures and paving. Be project number C-34 on our one-year plan number 1014 and C-34 number 1015. Bids to be opened November 12, 2015 at 9:30 a.m. And I guess Mark or Galen, Mark maybe, or do we have questions, comments, or
would you like a motion?
I would love a motion to approve.
I will move to approve right now.
Second.
Second. We have a motion by Lytle and a second by Jurgens. But now we'll have discussion a little bit, too. And I think this is something we've been waiting for a long time, so that's why we had Mark down here, too, to go over this. And I will make one quick announcement. Roger did work with our last person that we did not have an easement signed. As of yesterday, he gave us a commitment that he would sign his easement, so we just have to get that done. So we will have all of our easements will be signed. We still have yet a fence or two and stuff I'm working on. So.
Yay.
All of our easements have signed that they agree to the dollar amount. So
both sides of the bridge, right?
Both sides of the bridge. And Mark's going to explain a little bit what we're doing here, why there's two projects within this bid.
Well, there's a lot of reasons for a lot of things on this job because we've piecemealed certain things. Potential benefactors have historically offered, but they wanted certain dollar amounts split out so they could see what things cost. So we don't have anything firm. Once we get bids, we can go back to those individuals and entities, and we'll have the actual cost. So that's why that was done. Plus, when we were running into some delays on the big project, we figured we could start piecemealing a mile at a time. So we'll bid this out at one time, the whole 4 miles. There's two box culverts, one replacement, one extension. There's a bridge, overflow bridge, which is a two-span concrete poured-in-place slab bridge. That'll be part of the contract. We do have a railroad crossing that we've got to widen and get worked out with. We're still trying to work with the railroad. That's been more than a challenge. The utilities, I just talked to Galen. There's some power poles that have to be moved, the minor transmission lines. We'll lay the trees down for the utilities this winter. It's in the right-of-way areas. And then the contractor or us, whoever, will get rid of them, but we'll lay them down so that the utilities don't have to do it since our guys can go out there and handle that. And really, it's go time. We're still waiting to hear back from the Corps on our core permits on all of it, but that shouldn't be an issue. If they have requirements and conditions, we'll just apply them to the project. So, yeah, long time coming. So here we are. Good job on the right-of-way, because I know particularly the two of you guys, Galen, really spent a lot of time on
Galen, too.
Yeah.
Becky.
Becky.
Yeah. But no, and I'll just make a comment to the two projects too. And one time we originally had a discussion about should we just go ahead and do the east side of, or west side of the ridge first, because that was moving a little faster along. Right. But then as this worked through in the last year, I think we've got the east side caught up, and it's all ready to go to bid. The specifications are all there.
Yeah, we're just putting the final touches. There's a few decisions for the specifications, and then we'll put it on our website, send emails out to all the industry, and then we'll send copies down to the notice to Galen to get published accordingly. So it'll be out there.
Anything else? I guess no. It's something that this county, this board has worked on for a long, long time, Matt.
Exactly.
The previous boards, we found out maybe 40 years they've been working on this road, and I think this is something that I know this board is very much excited to be to this point where we're putting out this for bids.
We do a lot of paving across the state, and yeah. Of all the projects, I mean this one's right up there with the safety aspects. Just drive down it one time.
We're hopeful then that just one comment, I guess. If these bids, and we would accept them on November the 12th, most likely this project would be worked on when? Next year?
We'll discuss some details with Galen and Road and Bridge as far as we want to be give the contractor as much flexibility as possible. So that it works within them. The November time frame is good because the contractors will see what they're going to get done this year before. If we bid it too early, then they don't even know what they're going to get done in October.
Okay.
So by November, if you're a dirt guy or whatever, you pretty much know you're screwed by then. So, yeah. So it's a good timing. And then we'll give them a big window. They'll come back and tell us what their schedule is going to be. And you'll have two items. You'll have a time frame of which contractor gives you to bid to pick from, and a dollar amount associated with that. And then in there we'll reserve the right to take both under consideration.
So as part of the bid project, then, once we open the bids, then we'll have a better idea of exactly the time frame of...
Cost and time frames.
Cost and time frame. Okay,
yep.
Good.
Yep, and then we'll open the bids, take it under advisement, and then hash through it, and then make recommendations to the full board, and then you guys will pick your players.
Eric, have you bid anything recently, any road work?
Actually, as we speak, Jeff's in Burt County bidding 2 miles of 10-inch pavement right now.
I'd be curious to see what prices were when the asphalt prices came in and the Hanover Church Road prices came in two years ago.
3 years ago. 3 years ago now.
3 years ago.
Yeah.
We hit the jackpot on pricing on that, it seemed like.
So yeah, regionally, concrete's going to be a good player down here for you, because you're just far enough away that we'll bring in concrete players. Of course, you had an independent concrete company, and now they're owned by but that's they'll compete. So no, I think I anticipate good numbers. We're still getting good numbers. The dirt guys are giving great numbers. We're not seeing bad numbers. It's timing is struggling right now because people are having, like everybody else, finding good people is difficult. There's contractors are having the same problem.
Any more comments, questions? If not, go ahead and vote. Thank you, Mark. 7-0 in favor of putting Hickory Road out for bids. Don said, we need to take a little quick break. Pictometer here, we need to get a projection screen for him and stuff. So we'll take a 5-minute break.
Let's see.
We'll call back the meeting back to order at
10:13.
Yep.
Okay, pictometry. Patty and
Doug.
Yes, I know. Doug.
I do.
Yeah. Sonnemacher.
Not bad.
Close?
Not bad at all. Tonnemaker. Right. Not bad.
Okay.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Doug Tonnemaker. I am the pictometry district manager for the state of Nebraska. I wanted to bring back to Gage County's attention about a project that's taking place spring of 2016. Well, obviously, this is eastern Nebraska, western Iowa. I'm going to overlay a map here. What you're seeing there is, can you, everyone see that all right? That, I'm guessing from the lack of response, it's okay. Okay. So that is a flight map. Let me put this in a different color. Maybe it'd be easier. Okay. Well, that is a flight map of approximately 6,000 square miles of eastern Nebraska, western Iowa, that's going to be imaged by a technology that Gage County became aware of 3 years ago, I think it's been, by pictometry. And this technology is a very unique type of imagery, whereas the areas that are going to be imaged will be imaged in three dimensions instead of two. To give you an idea of what that looked like, this is imagery from your neighbor, from your neighbor to the, let's go back to that. This is imagery of downtown Fairbury. As you can see, it's in an angled format. This is the courthouse of Jefferson County, Nebraska. Typical aerial imagery is captured like this, straight down rooftop imagery. But, in addition to that type of imagery, we actually capture in this kind of view, three dimensions. And now these images, that's the courthouse, obviously, and I'm looking north. If I wanted to see the west side of the courthouse, it's a matter of just clicking on an arrow there, the chevron there, and I could fly around and look at all four sides of that courthouse. And I can measure on this imagery, I can measure distance, height, whatever I want. In addition to that, I can also combine the local mapping data of the counties onto this imagery. Parcel lines, street center lines, anything, manhole covers, storm sewers, whatever. Any data that you already have existing can be married to this technology as well. So let me go back to this map. As you can see, there's quite a bit of area that's already going to be imaged next spring. I've been doing this job a long time. Let me give you the typical way that a county comes on board with pictometry. And by the way, we work with over 1,300 counties across the country right now. Typically, the county boards decide to purchase this technology and bring it into the county. One of the big reasons is not only in addition to what you just saw, the technology of what it is, but it has an unlimited license. Unlimited in that it doesn't matter how many county departments are utilizing the technology, doesn't matter how many cities within the county are utilizing the technology, it still costs one number. So if only one department is using it, or every department in the county and all the cities are using it, it still costs the same. So the counties typically drive the purchase of this technology into their local county. Gage County is in a unique position that the city of Beatrice has already committed to doing this project. So Gage County can get on board with pictometry technology with already a committed partner from the city of Beatrice. And I got Doug Zuloff here from the city of Beatrice here who can talk about this as well. Typically, the counties go to their cities and, for lack of a better term, ask, beg, barter, whatever they want, however they can, to ask for funding or help for participation in these projects. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. A lot of times it doesn't prohibit the county from participating, but obviously the more funding partners you have, the cost is lower for everybody. Gage County already has a committed partner, and if Gage County wants to participate, it'll cost Gage County less than because of this opportunity. I don't know how else to say it. This doesn't come around very often. In my career with pictometry, it's come around maybe three times. So I wanted to bring this to your attention. 3 years ago, we had a series of meetings in Gage County, long before this project that you're seeing up here was going to take place. Not to speak for the departments, but if memory serves, and maybe some of you were on that board last time, the sheriff's office, I think, supported it. That's it here. I looked at you and you were gone. I'm like, really? No, I'm here. Okay. Sheriff's office supported it. The former emergency manager office supported it. And, of course, the assessor's office supported it and some others. The very last minute, it fell apart. Not sure why. That's fine. That's history. But when I was notified that the city of Beatrice was going to participate in this large imaging project, and I'm working with this folks up in Omaha on this, I told the folks in Omaha to sit tight on anything right now because, again, this doesn't come around very often, and I wanted to at least communicate to the county, here we go again. If you want to participate, you can do it, and even at a reduced cost than last time. So that's really the what I wanted to explain to you. Last time, if you were here last time, like I said, we had, I think, five meetings over time spread out. We met at the local library, I believe, one night and whatnot. I have demonstrated what this technology is, and so if you would like me to do a quick demonstration, I certainly can. But in the interest of time, I just wanted to bring this to your attention. From a funding standpoint, this is the project cost. Let me actually bring up the map first of Gage County of what we're looking at. So this is, to explain this to you, there's two levels of imagery. You've got this level, there's just green and purple. The areas in green are very high resolution imagery. The kind of imagery you just saw of the Jefferson County Courthouse, that's the kind of imagery that's going to be captured in the green areas. And then outside of the urban areas or the populated areas of the county, you're going to get a higher altitude, a little bit lower resolution imagery. It costs less in the areas outside of those green areas. The big splotch in the middle, obviously, is Beatrice, and that is the area that, and the green areas are the most expensive type of imagery because it's very low to the ground and very high resolution. City of Beatrice has already committed to funding that part right in the middle, the big green spot right over Beatrice. So if Gage County does nothing, then the imagery that's going to be captured of Gage County will just be the large green area of Beatrice. If Gage County wants to participate, then this is the flight map that we built last time, identifying populated areas and whatnot. So if we were to fly Gage County like this, all right, in the spring of 2016, then you're looking at an annual cost of about $49,000. About $9,000 to $14,000 of that is coming from the city of Beatrice. We're still working out the details with the city of Beatrice now. So do the math. You're looking at somewhere between $36,000 to $40,000from Gage County. Now, included in that is the kitchen sink. I can make that number lower, okay? But I've included the cost for web hosting. I've included the cost for mobile use. I've included the cost for integrations into various websites that you already have. No surprises is my point. All right, this is a typical project that how a typical project is built. Everything is included in this, that including 911 integrations and whatnot. This project, $49,000 a year, will pay for a flight in the year 2016 and another flight in the spring of 2019, 3 years later. A three-year cycle is the typical cycle of how often a county gets flown by pictometry. And you would then get on that cycle and be able to use, you just need to budget the $49,000 a year for 6 years. Okay? I asked Gus in the back of the room, hey, what's the average cost of a squad car? Fully loaded with the radios and lights and all that stuff, and he said, "Gus,
$45,000 to $50,000
for the cost, less the cost of a squad car. You're looking at a tool that can be utilized, but not only the sheriff's office and the assessor's office, and all of you, everybody in this county can benefit from this." I was sitting in the back of the room and I heard a lot of conversation. The gentleman before me talking about a Hickory Road project, right? Hickory Road. So, if you bring this technology into Gage County, ladies and gentlemen, I would also suggest heavily, I have created a significant tripping hazard here in your boardroom, okay? I would suggest making a motion to put away some to budget the cost to install a TV or a monitor of some kind or a projector of some kind, a permanent, the ability to display an image or a PowerPoint or something, okay? I mean, maybe it's been discussed before or not, but imagine, if you will, you had this technology in Gage County, and you're discussing projects like a bridge or Hickory Road or whatever you're talking about culverts and whatnot, instead of imagining what the area would look like, or perhaps you're familiar with the area, but maybe not everyone in the room is, you can actually display the area that's being discussed in this room, identify points around there, see the culverts that's being talked about, seeing when those bids get opened up, what they're planning on doing as far as paving and whatnot. It will change the conversation that takes place in this room, because a picture is worth what?
Thousand
words, okay? So it will absolutely change the dynamic of the conversation, because everyone's going to see what's being discussed when those projects are talked about, okay? Questions?
I'm assuming this will be integrated with Doug's overlays of all the underground utilities, things like that, that he's been putting together for years in the city of Beatrice. For me, right now, we look on Patty's website, we pull up any view. It is an overview from a vertical standpoint. I want to look at something like this. If I'm going to look at Fairbury's Courthouse, why do I look at this instead of pulling up Google Maps, which I pay nothing for, and I get a drive-around view?
So let me. That's a great question. First question. Let me answer that by asking a couple questions. Have you ever, or has anyone ever, typed in their address in Google Earth, and it puts you right on your front door? Okay. Yes or no? Yes, it does. Put you right in the front door. Anybody else?
I have 10.
Still fish for it.
You got to fish for it. You got to hunt and peck for it. Sometimes. Okay.
Sometimes. It depends.
When was the imagery captured in Google Earth? What time of year was the imagery captured in Google Earth? This imagery is captured in the spring or in the fall when there's no leaves on the trees. Okay, no snow on the ground. So those leaves on the trees on Google Earth are fully bloomed out. And it's in that straight down perspective. And you have zero control of when that imagery is going to be captured. You don't have any control over it. You don't have any way of combining your local data on top of that imagery. Okay? Google Earth imagery was created to do one thing and one thing only. And you know what that is? Sell more advertising for Google. And that's it. So if that imagery is 6 months old or 6 years old, you have zero control or say on how that imagery is going to be updated. Okay? There's no accuracy standards or specifications behind it. It's only there to drive traffic to Google so they can sell more space, advertising space to advertisers. And that's it. I use Google as well. I'm not slamming Google. But it's a consumer-grade product, not an authoritative one, and should not be used to make critical decisions of what things look like in the county using a consumer-grade type product. This imagery will integrate natively into 911 dispatch call centers. You can actually have it on your smartphones and devices and stuff like that when you're out in the field, and have all this imagery with your local mapping data in the palm of your hand. It's all included in that $49,000 cost. Okay?
There's one thing too, Doug, with Eric, with the 3 years ago when we did this, as the assessor's office, we can actually do measuring on this type of, for the assessor's office. I mean, that is a huge tool. This isn't just about pictures.
Is that open to anyone in the public to be able to take measurements and stuff too, or would that be proprietary to the office?
I mean, I can actually measure a building from my office and you know, so there's...
No. You can put this imagery out to the public to view. The only thing we ask you not to do is make the pictometry measurement tools, like what I just did, available to John Q. Public. Only county and city officials, employees, and elected officials have the ability to do what I just did. Measure distance, height, stuff like that. So I'm looking at the Jefferson County Courthouse in three dimensions, and I'm able to measure the distance, height, and all this stuff, and overlay local mapping data. All of those features I just said, you cannot do with Google Earth.
So I just wanted to point out, it's not just about the pictures.
Is that what you anticipate, is having Dan do stuff like that?
Dan's retiring in March.
So that's going to...
Yeah.
One other...
I'm not saying that I'm not going to be... we're still going to have feet on the ground and go out and look at some of these things. But these are great tools for the assessor's office as far as, like I said, we're missing buildings. The pictures that we can get from this has just been, you know, is so much better than what we've ever had before. One thing I might say is that when Lorene Stein retired as my deputy, I appointed Annette, but we did not rehire an employee in my office because at this point I need to get on the appraisal side. We need to pick up and make it fair for the taxpayers of Gage County, things out there that are not being taxed that need to be taxed. You know, 16 buildings since July that Dan has picked up with no permits, with one we know for a fact was valued over $90,000.
It's a great segue because the assessing office is one of the biggest users of the technology, but by no means the only one. This is not a one-trick pony. However, the assessing office, which you would utilize it daily, if you've got multiple image libraries, and that's why a three-year cycle is pretty much the standard anymore, a three-year cycle of getting new imagery every 3 years, then what could occur is we can start using technology then instead of driving out, canvassing every square inch of the county via the ground, via car, okay? You can use technology to pinpoint where, when you go out in the field, where to go, okay? An example of that is this. So this is just was I was just made aware of this just last week. This is a house that had a significant... I can't move, can I? This is a house on the right that had a significant change that was not picked up by the county assessor's office. And if it, and it added over $27,000 right there, $27,290, $27,000 of additional value to the tax roll of this county over in Iowa. Okay, this is not atypical. All right, this is using modern technology to pinpoint where the changes are taking place out there, to discover the changes, discover the buildings, and make an analysis of it. Okay, so when you're going out in the field, you're still going to go out in the field, not only the assessor's office, but everyone else is, but you're significantly more efficient when you have this type of technology at your fingertips, okay, instead of just canvassing and seeing what you can find, okay? The cost to do this is not included in that $48,000 because, A, I don't know how many parcels are in Gage County. I need to know that number. And, B, I don't know if this project is going to take off or not, if we're going to do this in Gage County. If we were to do this in Gage County, the cost of this is about 75 cents a parcel. 75 cents a parcel to discover where your buildings are located and what buildings are new, changed, demolished, and haven't changed. For pennies on the dollar, you're going to get a significant report that details exactly what's going on out there in Gage County.
But you do that on the second flyover compared to the first flyover.
That is correct. Okay. That is correct.
The first one, the second will show changes. So the first flyover, the second flyover we did this, show the changes that have occurred in my county.
Between the first flyover. But the first flyover, if you did that, then it would be up to you to be able to pull up that parcel and decide if that building's listed on our tax statement. That's how it would have to operate. Yeah.
Right now, we would be able to see real well, too, in the rural area, buildings. I mean, this is such a more photo that is so much better than even our GIS that we've done. The GIS is the website that hosts everything for the county. So you say it's my website. We had contracted with Marcus Tews and GIS. Now, he's not with the company anymore. He's kind of backed. I mean, he kind of has some, but he's the one that takes care of all my websites. So when you look at that website, it's done in a bunch of counties because right now I'm not real happy with our website. I think it's very difficult to maneuver our website compared to where I was before. And, I mean, it's supposed to be for appraisers and things like that, but I think somewhat of our website is somewhat difficult to maneuver right now. And I don't know if you've seen any changes on it or if you've been on it, but...
Been on some, yeah.
But yeah, it's twice before that was easy. This is getting complicated for the general public to go in now.
She almost needs to give a class so we know how to use it.
What's our yearly cost on that?
I think GIS workshops probably, they host everything on the website. So, in essence, when Annette puts a transfer statement in, like it updates our property record cards all the time, I think about $9,000 a year, the website.
Would this replace that?
No. No, that's not the web. He's not doing the website. He's basically just doing.
I'm providing data that's going to go into that website.
The visual data,
right?
Visual and also the measurement tools and things like that. And so, you know, I feel like the assessor's office really needs to go full force on the appraisal side of it. And we, you know, that's where I really wanted to focus, and that's why I did not hire back. With Dan retiring in March, I have to rethink some things to see where we go with that. You know, Daryl's in my county so many days a week. This would definitely be a great tool for me. With an employee that I didn't hire back, you take her salary, insurance benefits, and things like that, and, you know.
One last.
That's kind of my sales pitch, because that's the way I feel. I'm strongly feel that this is, you know, something I truly am for. I mean, we have to make sure that everybody's paying their fair share in the county. You know, if there's a $90,000 building, that's not fair to the next person. And, you know, at protest time, I would be able to bring these images in. You've seen some of the people that compared houses to houses. They weren't even comparable. And, you know, we have to point that out. And to be able to see this for you guys, even as the house, to me is just, I don't know. I just think this is a window of opportunity. I realize it costs money, but all the counties that Doug, I think, has signed up, the only two probably around here that don't have it right now is Johnson and Pawnee.
Correct.
You said you signed Richardson yesterday.
Just approved their project yesterday.
And I guess maybe, you know, 2-3 years ago I was a little disappointed, but now we've got another opportunity, which is better than what, two or three years ago. So maybe that was a smart move not to do it then. So
you're doing this flyover next spring.
We are.
When would this data be available for her office to use?
If we fly in April, March, April, then I would say if we fly in April, the data will be made available in probably May. And if we fly in May, it will be in June, about a month or so.
It takes about a month or month, so, 2 months, mm-hmm, for her to be able to access the data.
Correct. That's correct. One last thing I wanted to add, and I want to make sure this is pointed out, because it's a feature that, frankly, I hope you never use. You come on board with pictometry, there are disaster clauses in the contract. Here is an example of that, where we have, and maybe this is kind of hard to see with the light, but this is the damage of an EF3 tornado that took place in northwest Iowa. This is Mapleton, Iowa, before and after, obviously. If a disaster strikes Gage County while you're under an active contract with us, depending upon the nature of the storm or the disaster, we'll come back and fly the affected area at a reduced cost or at no cost. It just depends upon what type of storm or what took place. The Wayne County, City of Wayne, they are a customer of ours. An EF4 tornado ripped through that county a little over a year ago, almost 2 years ago now, I guess it has been. All that imagery, and I can show it to you if you like, but all that imagery of the effect of that storm was captured for that city and the county at no cost, because an EF4 storm is a free flight. So I can get into the particulars of that. The devil's in the details. I can get into the particulars of that, but there are disaster clauses included in the contract at no additional cost. So we've flown floods and dam failures and anything else. Go ahead.
To get the price down on this, you said this has everything in it, mobile apps, things like that. Have you talked to him about what you would like versus what is it? I mean, because I'm sure this sounds great. There's a lot of stuff to it. But there may be things we don't need or that you
Well, and
want.
At that, with that cost down there at the bottom there, did you say that would be reduced because of Beatrice, or is that the cost after Beatrice?
That's the cost not including lower. Beatrice. So that number is going to be lower to Gage County. That's the project cost for the entire county.
I would encourage you, since Beatrice has already signed on, to kind of bump theirs up a little more.
Doug, you want to come up here?
We really got it on our budget.
And another thing I think it would be really great to know is that if you did have a natural disaster, we could come in and look right away to see where houses are in that section and really pull up and say, are these people in this place okay? You know,
right.
We could find. And then Doug did a great presentation 3 years ago. The schools, the overlays, if you had an active shooter, some of those things that Gus and you know, I think you talked about cameras in the school. You
right.
might be able to overlay a school. And, you know, it's real life now. What's going on?
Right.
To be able to tell where an active shooter may be in that school for the safety of our kids. And, you know, we even talked about schools, whether they'd be willing to come on board with some of that, you know, with costs and
law
enforcement besides the assessor's office.
Right. This isn't our only technology, is my point, but that's our base technology. All of the other ancillary products, like the school product and this product, which we call Change Finder and stuff like that, all of it requires the three-dimensional oblique imagery. We can't discuss any of those ancillary products until you have the imagery of the county. Once we have that, then we can talk about Change Finder, and we can talk about the product you're talking about with the schools is called Critical 360. We can have those conversations, but we can't have those conversations right now.
Even in the lower resolution pictures out of city in the county, you can still do measurements, things like that?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. Here's a maybe this will work. This is a bridge. South Fairbury. Obviously, it's a bridge. Let me point that out to all of you. It's a bridge but south of Fairbury, Highway 15. So I'm pointing this out just to, again, reiterate my earlier point of getting the ability to project an image in this room. So when you're discussing bridges and stuff like that, in fact, I think I saw on the agenda there's a time set to the bridge committee, I believe it is. But anyways, just imagine what that conversation would be like when you're discussing, you know, when you're looking at the health of bridges and stuff like this, be able to fly around and look at all four sides of any structure in Gage County in this kind of manner, what I'm doing right now. So it really, and I could click anywhere on that particular image right now and pull up the local data. Who owns this property right here? What's the address of the property? I can do all of that using, when I marry your local data into this technology. So it's a game changer. It really is.
Well, it would seem to me, I like it, but I think that we need to go back and take point by point of what you're going to propose as far as cost is concerned. We look at what law enforcement, what road and bridge, what the assessor's office, to break these down and look at these costs on what we need, what is extra, and so we can make a decision. I like what we're doing. I think, unfortunately, that we have to go out and find people who aren't declaring property and
right.
some of those things, but we need to do it.
I understand. One of the things that I want to point out, so I did say I can get that number lower, and the reason why I did say that is because we can. However, the way that we can get that number lower is by using products that aren't as expensive, and that is in regards of how good this imagery is. So the $48,000 a year assumes that we're flying or pays for we're flying Gage County with the best imaging products Gage County can buy. I strongly urge you not to consider going less than that because no one's ever told me the imagery is too good. Okay? If anything, people only come to me and say, we want the imagery to be even better than what it is. And so we constantly evolve and develop and put funds into R&D, research and development, to improve the imagery. And some of the stuff that we're working on now, which isn't available yet, but might be available by 2019, is amazing. My point is that this is the best project in terms of integrations that you already have. 911 integrations, website, whatever. Online web hosting, okay, you're not going to want to get rid of that, and includes the best products we have available. The products that I'm showing you right now, this bridge, the of Jefferson County, that is the imagery you're going to get is going to be better than what they're using right now. Okay, my point is that the products can constantly evolve. You're not going to want, I can get the number lower, but I think that would be a mistake because you're going to get less value out of the products that you're
I'm just saying, at. Come with your product. Bring us the price for your product,
which I did,
and give it to Patty and have her bring it back to us for approval or disapproval on what we want to do.
Well, and the training or the meetings that we had prior, I don't know how many of you were here to see those. You weren't, of course, and I don't know. Myron, did you see any of those? We did the library downstairs with Mark.
I wasn't at the library.
Rex, I think, was here.
Yeah.
Rex was kind of. And here's the thing, too. I have a 1-in-6-year plan where I have to be on properties every I have touched properties 1 in 6 years. One thing we used to do, because I've been here a long time, and Denny probably remembers, when we had total revals that cost us thousands and thousands of dollars, where we had people go out and do that. Now they allowed us to start doing subclasses of property. We used to have to go out and do the whole county, like it within a two-year period. Now it's kind of backed off to where you can do all a subgroup, which you could do all your commercials, you could do all your rural residentials, you can do the small towns. The state has come along to where we could do those as long as we're doing it, you know, because the cost that we paid years ago was horrific as far as we had a company come in here and had several people were going out knocking door to door and going in houses and doing that type of thing. We don't do that much anymore. You know, we try to do things. Getting into homes is getting harder and harder, except when they're first built, you know, because we're able to go out in front, you know, with the construction, you know, the contractor there and getting in. But it's a new day and age, and people don't want us in their homes. So,
who owns this technology? If we don't continue on, say we get a flyover, we get two flyovers, is this ours, or as soon as
great,
we break contract,
great question.
Is that yours?
The quick way to answer that question is the imagery, the technology is ours, and you license it from us. However, if you fly in spring of 2016 and spring of 2019, and then 2021 comes around and you don't want to fly anymore, it's when we do a project for a county, we do a physical delivery of all the imagery to the county. And that's yours to keep forever, okay? If you were, if Gage County and Pictometry divorced, then what would occur is that hard drive is yours, you keep it, everything will still work on it, okay, forever, at no cost, okay? There's even on that hard drive software that you can use to install on every computer, and so it continues to work. Now, having said that, including the cost is the online web hosting that's in this. You're not, I'll just be honest, you're not going to want to go to, if you've been using it on the web and you're used to using it on the web, you're not going to want to go to desktop software. It's an option. It's free. However, you're probably going to still want to use it on the web. That's a $1,500 a year charge. That's in that number. So that would be really the only legacy cost I could see that you would incur if we were to part ways.
Other than it would outdate itself.
And then at the time, yeah, the imagery is outdated.
Got a question for the city, I guess. You think approximately it's $9,000, $10,000 that they are picking up the cost?
14.
We have budgeted, I think, $27,000 to do a flyover for our I guess if you divide it over into 3 years, it'd probably be $9,000 a year. We have, I talked to Doug this morning, we have added a few extra segments to our grid that we wanted to do. So it may increase a little bit on our end. Might have to talk to our Board of Public Works, City Council, and Tobias with this for the increase.
Come up to the mic, though, here. Sorry, because I got one more question for you, I guess. You tell me what the city's going to use this for, because you're not using it to do what Patty's doing, assessing their property.
We use it for our engineering department to look at the lay of the ground, look what's out there, see what's out there, do some measuring, take put our photography on our maps, put our infrastructure in there so we know where our infrastructure is with our city streets, the right-of-ways that we have laid out. We have a lot of our infrastructure laid out in our GIS map, along with our section lines and our city right-of-ways. So we use this imagery to know where things are, and it helps us with the measuring and getting some initial cost and take a little bit of the guesswork out of it. I also know that we were planning on letting the 911 center, we were going to let them give our imagery to them so they can tie it into their geocom maps. So it would help with their law enforcement. And our fire department would be really interested in it also for their pre-plans as far as their so they have an idea of what they're going to do before a fire would exist in a certain structure. That's kind of what our plans were with it. But it would really help us with it.
Because And this is for me, because a city like you, that you talked about fire hydrants and all that other infrastructure that would be very beneficial to you, but mm-hmm. some of that stuff out in the county, you have to look more at bridges or a road. You're not going to look at, well, nobody has a fire hydrant every, mile or whatever. So there's some of that aspect that wouldn't be as beneficial to the county. What we would get more of a benefit is as far as from the assessor side of this, so that we can find structures out there that just aren't there.
I'd also add, though, also law enforcement. Because if we think about this, I mean, this technology turns night back into day, and as far as I know, crime just doesn't happen during the day. So this will, I've got a plethora of stories from other law enforcement officials where this technology was used during the night, to identify what's behind a fence. At 2 o'clock in the morning on a moonless night, they were able to see exactly what's around that corner when they're doing a foot chase and stuff like this. So, I got a story where it actually saved two lives one night during a blizzard. So, law enforcement, county sheriff, I think, is one of the biggest users of it as well.
Well, and from my perspective, I would hope that we as a assessor's office could basically come up with enough structures out there that the increased taxes basically are going to offset or more than pay for your cost of this, because somehow you have to look at paying for this.
Well, and that's why when I said that I did not hire back from an employee, that in itself, because I don't know what would an employee, with the benefits and things like that, this is where now, there again, we're still going to have to come out and look at some things, because we've got to get in a machine shed that's got the electricity, the bathroom, and things like that. So we're still going to have to go and physically go out there and see some of those things, too. But the appraisal side, I just want everybody to pay their fair share. If you got a $90,000 building out there or $100,000 building, we need to have it on the tax rolls. Now, is that going to happen every year? Maybe not. But we've gone from a total reappraisals that we used to pay tons and tons of money for to, this technology is going to help a lot. Is it going to do everything for us? No. And I want that to be made clear to this board that it's going to definitely help us a lot, but we still have to do some things that, require us to go out and look and hopefully do it safely. And, I've been lucky to have Dan Jameson in my office and some of the people that have known this county over the years because they've lived here. That makes a big difference, but to me, this is just, it's technology moving forward. We never used to have a website. Sometimes that's good for the assessor's office. Sometimes that's not. Because too much information used in not the right way can kind of be tragic at times. But when we do protests, we can pull up the house. You can really take a look at it from not just a black and white picture. And even now there again, I know there's some training involved that would probably, the cost of that would be involved. Is the training something
I'm glad you brought that up. Training is included in this. There are no surprises on that number. There's no, if you want this, then it costs more. Everything that you could possibly want and need for this project is included in that number, except for the change finder, because I want to point that out. And including on the change finder, this is an example of value. A county of about 17,000 people in northeast Iowa found $23 million of value. This is a county that would have told you that they drove every road every year, looked at every building that they possibly can, and then they brought this technology in and it found another $23 million. It's not an end-all. I'm not suggesting that you bring pictometry in and the assessor's going to sit in their office all 365 days a year. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is they're 10 times more efficient when they do their job, on top of everything else that we already talked about. That right there, that $23 million generates a little over $300,000 of additional annual tax revenue that wasn't on the tax rolls, now is, because of technology, more than paying for the cost of the project.
And I do have a net in my office that's very good with the GIS and all the computer. I'm getting to the point where I'm not quite as handy at some of that anymore. But she went to school for that, and she knows a lot of she worked for a surveyor, and I think anybody that's worked with her on the, it's amazing what the GIS, because we only have one computer in our office with GIS, and she would definitely be the one that would be involved in doing a lot of this. Because like I said, sometimes they don't want me to touch the computer much.
Questions? Otherwise, we'll, I guess, we will put, we'll have a discussion in our next committee meeting. We'll put this on our next board meeting to see if we approve this or not.
Great. Just to give everyone a timeline, the project is going to take place in the spring of 2016. We are asking for a complete picture of what this project is going to look like by Thanksgiving. So we will need to have a decision before then.
Before Thanksgiving.
Before Gage County. From Gage County, a decision as to what we're doing.
We have the whole month of October
right.
in one meeting.
So we've got a little bit of time, but I guess I just want to make sure, for the record, we that's out there.
Okay.
Once you do have a deal made in stone with Beatrice, if you could get what our share would be to us as quickly as possible, too.
The balance of our cost.
The balance of the cost for
Gage.
For Gage.
Right. Once I understand the complete picture of what the Beatrice project will look like, I will have that broken down as to what your cost will be.
Just keep in mind, Beatrice has a lot of extra tax rules.
And one thing I would probably be really interested in, Doug, is the change finder, too. So could you at least give me an idea?
How many?
Probably about 16,000 in Gage County.
Okay, we'll go with 16.
16,000 parcels.
16,000 times 0.75, that's your cost.
12,000.
That would be with the change finder. Is that something we would have to decide right away?
No, you don't. That is not. We just need to get the imagery. We can do that whenever you want to do it.
So look and see what I pick up, and then the next year, then.
And actually,
I have the money to do the next, right?
The cost is less than $12,000 because we need two flights. We can do out of that 75 cents, 35 cents. Would be the cost to find all the buildings. We can do that with flight number one, so it would be
one thing.
$5,000 in for flight number one and $7,000 flight number two or something.
Okay, and one thing with Beatrice, can I exclude Beatrice out of that if I wanted to?
Sure.
Because they have the permit system. Whereas if we took that many parcels out of it, that's a lot for us. I can find things easily.
I'll bring this up, though. You're 100% sure all the buildings in Beatrice, even with a permit system, are there.
I would add also that a lot of times those...
Well...
We have a permit system in the county, and you found 16 buildings already.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Beatrice doesn't. I trust theirs a lot more than ours. Because, I mean, they different thing, but there are still...
Inspector that goes around and checks for this stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, if you could...
I don't know. I would think... I think we see Beatrice. I mean, I don't know. We might miss the utility shed, but I don't know.
I don't know.
Because they have to... I don't know.
I mean, that's for discussion.
Just I would add on that topic. We are developing the technology right now to integrate your permits into this change finder product, A and B. You'll be somewhat surprised how often we hear about how a permit comes in and says we're doing X, and then the imagery shows they did Y.
That's probably more my point. The people that file permits, it's only costing $10,000, and then you find out later.
So when the city of Beatrice, you probably know this, Eric. When the city of Beatrice does,
Eric Thiemann lives pretty close to here, and I don't know if I'd definitely.
Are you a contractor, sir?
City inspector go out for each permit in Beatrice, right?
Pretty much everything.
They do go out for every permit, okay?
I don't want to leave them out of there. I'm just saying.
I'm not questioning what the city be after.
I have some questions. It's not directly related to the product, but it's the philosophy. And before we slide down the slippery slope,
right.
Other people in other counties and other jurisdictions may have drank the Kool-Aid. We don't have this budgeted. This isn't a necessity. This is a want. So we're going to go back and add $50,000 a year to our budget for 6 years. Do we have jurisdiction to fly over municipalities that we don't have control over? There's other villages and towns out there that we haven't talked to about this. You know, is it good practice that the number one person that can go on any property in the county is the weed superintendent? Law enforcement has to get a search warrant to go do that. Do we as a public body want to go snooping over fences and pulling back the curtain on the citizens to peer into their private lives as to what they're doing? The technology's out there. It's wonderful technology. There's no doubt that it takes great pictures for certain purposes. Do we want to get into that overreaching, I believe, big brother, peering over every fence, looking over every tree, I just, you know, I'm throwing some cold water on this, just the devil's advocate.
That's the scariest part, and I know this isn't because of the new building you just got done with either, but...
I don't have... You pay for it, and I'll put it up.
No, that would be the biggest downfall is that change finder. I think that's really...
But we also did have this discussion the last time.
The public's going to ask those questions, yes. And how are you going to respond to those questions? There's no doubt that you're going to go out there and you're going to find stuff, you're going to put stuff on the tax rolls. Are we trying to fine-tune or tweak or sharpen a pencil in a broken tax system, or does the tax system need to change? And so I'm being devil's advocate out here because I could go either way on this deal, but I'm saying these are questions that the last time we talked about this, people asked me. And, you know, you start flying over people's property and someone contends that I didn't give you authority to do that and now you're increasing my taxation because you were able to fly over my fence and see something that you couldn't see from the ground. Does somewhere along the line, does somebody push that and say, was that an unreasonable search?
I've got the right to go on somebody's property as the county assessor.
You what?
I have the right to go on somebody's property as the county assessor.
And again, a lot of that stuff is notice. You know, the deal out in the Sandhills.
I mean, I think it's very unfair to people that are out there being honest and coming in here and reporting things compared to the people out there that won't. And you know, I'm doing my job, and that's what I was elected to do. You know, if there's buildings out there that aren't being reported and they're supposed to be reported and they're not, then I think it's my responsibility to go get them. Now, with that being said, if I know that building's out there 2 or 3 years, I can go back on them and get the taxes. You know, I think that we treat all our people fair by making sure that we have everything picked up. And some of the permits aren't getting, you know, and the only thing is with the Beatrice thing, you know, when I talked about the change finder, I guess, you know, I'm not excluding them. I just think Beatrice is a much easier area for us to see versus rural. You know, you've got trees and buildings and things that you can get around. There's a lot of buildings back in the tree lines that you can't see. You know, Dan going down roads, one day he can go down and there's something, and the next day, you know, there's something else. And, you know, it's about fair, and it's about, you know, sure, you know, I don't like people in my yard either. And it's getting more and more like that. But remember, the revenue that I get in my office comes to this county board to use, you know, the valuations from my office. And that is what, you know, helps us because everybody, like I said, I want everybody to be fair and everybody to pay the, you know.
The use of it that the city is using, I think that's wonderful with being able to the infrastructure that you have. If we were to use it from a road and bridge standpoint, I think there's opportunities to use that. I don't think it's a good opportunity to use that to fly over people's property and try to catch them for things that they are or are not doing right. I think that there are those probably that you found that have had nefarious intent with not telling people about buildings and those people, but to throw everybody into that loop and say, no, you're all guilty, but we're just going to check and make sure. I got a problem with that.
That's
where I'm coming from. It's wonderful technology. I mean, the resolution that's out there for the city to be able to overlay stuff for law enforcement, there's opportunities out there. But you know,
I think you're being unfair, Matt, and saying we're assuming everybody is guilty, and so we're going to fly over and see whether we can catch them. I think that we're doing our job as a county to see if there are issues, if there are things that we need to make changes on. And that's what we should be doing as a good county. And I don't think this is unfair to people to fly over their property or not.
To change technology is not unfair to fly over somebody's property, take a snapshot, and then come back years later on every parcel.
That's the state statute.
That is the state statute. And the fact of the matter is, I would not go out when people come in and say, hey, I've been to a graduation party, and I'm in a Quonset, and I'm seeing the big screen TVs, I'm seeing the electricity inside of machine sheds. That never used to happen. A machine shed, you know, and I understand that. But I did not go out to that property on that day and say, okay, I want to see your machine shed, because I know there's more than one out there. There's a whole bunch of them out there. And I'm not going to pick on that person just for that given day. I want to do everybody. I want to go out there and try to get everybody. You know, Because there's a lot more than one or two out there.
Playing devil's advocate, it's very easy as an elected official to start to talk to the same group of people, and we all sit around and we nod our heads and do this. Make sure, because I know what the calls I got 3 years ago, or 2 years ago, whenever that was. Go out and talk to the people in the community, outside of this circle, and get their input and get their feelings. Being devil's advocate presenting the other side, because there's not many of those folks sitting in this room right now.
And nobody's going to like to be taxed. I mean, that nobody's going to run into me and say, hey, you know, I tore up a tree line, or I tore down, you know, if they tear down buildings, that's probably going to be notified to me. But, you know, there's things out there that we could get more value off of. It's just like personal property. For years, I never asked for a depreciation schedule. I asked for it now. You can't believe the amount of money I put on the tax rolls because of depreciation schedules. And, you know, and a lot of county assessors, you know, had done that before I did. So.
And I had several people told me last time, well, we shouldn't do this. This is imposing on me and looking at when we shouldn't be imposing. And then I went out and looked at their property, and two of them that complained to me were hiding properties that they hadn't gotten permits for or declared them to the assessor's office.
Saying. No, this we'll continue this discussion.
Be devil's advocate.
Our next
ask
meeting.
The questions.
No, but we need to bring up both sides. But what? Any more questions for Doug? Otherwise, we're gonna.
Well, I guess that's something. I know you're trying to say what I always like to hear: leave people alone. But are you proposing we have some type of hearing for this? Maybe beyond even in here, where we have some community.
No, I think the media, they do a good job of getting things out there. I'm just saying that the last time this was presented, there were multiple meetings. That's the feedback I got. I'm impressed with the technology. I don't think that a reasonable person can look at that and not say, yeah, that's kind of nice. But, you know, I'm wired to think that does government need to be flying over people's homes? You know what? Maybe I'm the only one sitting here that doesn't necessarily think that's a good idea, and so be it. But I'll present the other side.
Right.
But do you think I have the right as the assessor to go on the property then? I mean, it's the same thing, in a way. It would be better for me to engage and go on the property.
That's what I'm saying. Engage the public. It's easy to disengage the public and do everything from afar. And I think that's, you know, we can get into the whole philosophical discussion of technology. We need to engage people face-to-face, have the conversation.
But we are in a different world right now, too.
I agree.
So
and
when me going on a property is going to be a lot more different than it was 10, 20 years ago.
And we will continue this discussion in our next meeting, because we'll have it on there for discussion, approval, or disapproval. And if we don't even approve it at our next meeting, we probably have one more meeting yet where we know whether or not we approve it or disapprove it. But any more questions for Doug while he's here and stuff? Because he won't be here at our next meeting. So if he has
questions. No, and I wish you guys could have seen some of the good information he provided 3 years ago. And I don't know, did you have a lot of people at the library? I don't remember.
The library meeting we had, boy, it was a packed house. It was
nobody,
a very good meeting.
Nobody called me and showed, I mean, and indicated that they, you know, one way or the other. Nobody called me, so I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, and I will say this. I'll thank Beatrice. I mean, if we do decide to do this, I'll thank Beatrice, because, I mean, the other time we never even had discussion about going out and seeing if some of the other communities would pick up part of the cost. And here, this is one opportunity that this board does have, is that Beatrice is already committed to picking up part of this cost.
The only other thing, is there any other options with this software that you would want to show us? Any other?
Oh, it's great. You need to see a lot more.
Demonstrate to us while you are here.
I could. I don't know how much time we have.
I didn't know if there's any selling points that you want.
I mean, there,
to
the,
get
the ability of. Here, let me maybe instead of let me do this instead. I've got a better idea here. So, this is over in Scottsbluff, Nebraska, and it's a nice three birds and okay. So that's Scottsbluff, Nebraska. Okay, that's not our imagery. That's the imagery that they were using before pictometry, somewhat similar to maybe what's being used here. Then we come in, and this is the imagery that we provide. So it's that straight-down perspective. And this is the view that's on Google Earth now. This imagery, this and this is the kind of imagery that's available today. So, but again, we bring this into, and you're able to bring that type of, that three-dimensional imagery in. So all we're doing is the same structures in three dimensions, and then we're adding those type of structures. So this, or mapping layer. So once you see this, then you're able to go ahead and identify, okay, what are those properties and whatnot. And of course, I can measure on any of this stuff. So, you know, instead of the imagery that's available today, you get this very clear imagery, and then you're able to look at it when you zoom in from all four dimensions, just like this. And what I'm doing right now are just some screenshots from a
PowerPoint. You layer that though with the property lines and everything.
We're taking your existing property lines that you already have and putting it into this. That's all we're doing. I'm doing it just like that. So this is a great example too. I'd like to show this. So this is a building in northern Iowa. When you look at this building, I'm not going to ask the question, but when you look at this building, when you only have this viewpoint, a lot of folks assume that this is a church, is what I'm getting at. It's a church, but a lot of folks assume that the area on the right is a parking lot, and it's not. It's the roof of a building. And so I will rhetorically ask you, you know, how many of you thought that that area on the right was a parking lot? And when you look at it in two dimensions, people assume that that's a parking lot. This is a church in Meservey, Iowa. How many of you have been to Meservey, Iowa? You would have to be familiar with this location to understand that that's not a parking lot, but it's a church. And so that's the point here, is that whoever looks at this imagery can understand what they're looking at. And so all these departments can use it, okay? All of these folks can use it on an unlimited basis. I was thrilled to learn that Geocom is your 911 dispatch vendor. We are partners with Geocom. There is zero cost from Geocom or from Pictometry to get this imagery integrated. So when a 911 call comes in, after we fly Beatrice at least, when a 911 call comes in, and if that church was in Beatrice, Nebraska, that's the image that's going to show up on that dispatcher screen. So, I mean, let's be honest. If you're calling 911, you're not having a good day. You may not know where the heck you are. This imagery is going to put the person who's calling 911 and the dispatcher on a level playing field and be able to communicate the precise location of where that call is coming in by using a three-dimensional imagery. This is a newspaper article that came out from the city of Ottumwa, where it has nothing to do about assessing and valuing properties like this. The law enforcement community was a significant driver in getting this type of technology into their jurisdiction. Of course, the assessing office uses it as well for statutory requirements and whatnot. But from a public safety standpoint, you can't argue with this. So this is quite the headline that I think everyone would like to see. So, yeah, I just showed you the tip of the iceberg. It is a complete set of tools that are available that, for the interest of time, you know, we could schedule another meeting if you like, and I could do a whole rundown if you like, but it's quite profound.
Doug, with what you guys are doing for the city, when you refly it again, you probably wouldn't care whether anybody got permits or didn't then. You probably wouldn't use that, what did you call it? Change finder. Would you even use that or not?
Honestly, the inspector's office could probably use.
So see, that if they did that part for them, then that would reduce the cost to the county.
But I'm sure there are people that there are times that they do get phone calls saying, "Hey,
somebody didn't.
My neighbor's building a building on
their fence."
Those are the two big ones, I think.
I'm sure there'd be a way that they could probably integrate.
So the city would pay their portion for the change finder in Beatrice parcels, and then I could put the rest on mine. So that would share the cost there again.
Sure.
Good.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I just wanted to bring, you know, Doug called me. I didn't realize the city was doing it, so I thought it was well worth it to look at the board and have you guys, you know.
And that's why we're bringing it up for discussion again, and we'll go forward and have that next at our next meeting. We'll have more discussion and see what the possibilities
are. I'm with Matt. I don't want to spend money unnecessarily, and I believe in less government also if we can, but I think there are times there are a lot of extenuating circumstances here that we need to look at.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
No, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You need help unplugging that.
We'll have that on the agenda then for discussion and approval or disapproval of Pictometry. Yeah. And we can also yet, you know, if we don't come to a decision our next meeting, we can the meeting after, so we'll have that time too, but we'll keep it on the agenda. So, no, thank you very much.
think it'd be a great thing that the Board of Public Works picked up this cost. Did you hear me, Zula? I said I think it'd be a good thing for the Board of Public Works to pick up this cost for all that we as a county do for you guys.
Oh, yeah, I think I'd have to run through our general manager.
Forget him. Then.
See you, Doug.
Thank you. We'll wait just a minute. I think we have some ladies here from Loot River. And we'll, you're next up on the agenda, and I thank you for what, being here and waiting. Next on the agenda, thank you, Doug. We have Blue River Area Agency on Aging, and visited with the ladies, and we have some things we'd like to discuss about. They did have an increase in funding request from us, which we did not go forward with, and that's why I decided to call you and have you come
thank
and explain
you.
Some things to our board. Our board had a lot of questions about it, and stuff,
okay.
So
I appreciate
you coming. And we need a name.
Okay, Janice Price. I'm the interim director of Blue Rivers for 3 months.
3 months.
We have our requesting an increase over what we were allotted last year. The primary reason for the increase is that with our transportation program with the Department of Roads, they are figuring different how the local match comes up. And so we're asking all eight counties to help us with this increase of local match. So that was one of the major reasons, plus the fact that with the minimum wage going up, what we have to pay for our employees that do the buses and do the work for Blue Rivers have increased our cost. Having been with the state for a little bit and visiting all eight area agencies, Blue Rivers does have the best transportation program of any of the area agencies, and that includes Lincoln and Omaha. They do an excellent job of getting people from the counties on either side and then can get them up to Lincoln and the eastern counties. They get them up to Omaha for doctor's appointments, et cetera. So they really do, I think Southeast Nebraska can be very proud of the transportation program that we have here. This fiscal impact I'm showing you, or that Carla pulled up, this is Carla Mortensen. She's the fiscal director. If you have any questions, she's the one. I've been on the job 2 weeks, so I can't answer too many questions. But I think you can see the fiscal impact that Blue Rivers has in Gage County, what they spend with wages, utilities, rent, et cetera. And then the other page is all the local vendors that we use, that we buy our equipment and supplies and food and everything. And then on the right-hand side of that page is the people that we serve here in Gage County. So I think we have a large fiscal impact in the county, and we serve a lot of people. And God willing, we're all going to be, some of us already are, but we're all going to be old. And these services are very important to help folks stay independent. So I know money, money, money. Everybody here this morning has been asking for money. And I've been on the other side of that desk and know what it's like from that side. And now I'm on this side asking for it. So, but I do feel this is... the costs have gone up, and the primary cost that has gone up has been the match from the Department of Roads. The local match went up, and so we've asked all the counties to increase that. And I think, Carla, you've got some figures on what it was last year. And
Right. Last year, our local match was $87,000. This year, with the Department of Roads, it is that third sheet that I sent you is $94,864, which is subject to go up a little. When this budget was implemented, we had to add the...
Some of us don't have a third sheet.
Oh, it was...
Uh-oh, I blew it. There's two more third sheets. I got them mixed up.
They were right behind.
One?
Yes.
Okay, you have this one.
No. I got it. I don't.
Sorry.
John, you got it?
Yes, I got it.
Okay, sorry.
Chairman in the dark.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Good job, Eric.
This is our transportation budget this year. We had to implement at rollover our inner city bus transportation system, which starts, we have two of them. One starts in Auburn, goes through Nebraska City, Syracuse, and up to Lincoln or Omaha. Our other one is Hebron, Fairbury, Beatrice, and they are, were designed to get people to the bus terminals, to the airlines, that sort of thing. We, through the Department of Roads, looking through this, we have not been doing that. We've been getting people to butt to doctor's appointments more, that sort of thing. Family, not as much. We had to roll over that inner city budget, which was $88,000, into our local transportation. Inner city was not a program we had to match any kind of local dollars to. Now it's been implemented into our local transportation system. Therefore, we have to match those dollars. That is also a part of why this local match has went up, and we've asked the counties to increase their match system. So if you have any questions about that.
You have the dollars.
Yeah.
I mean, it was 28,000 something before.
Last year we gave them 29,342, and that's what the Finance Committee budgeted this year. Now their request this year was $34,860.
Which was a 16% increase. And we look at this, as I've been to the other county boards, as a getting this up to date. We have been asking the same amount from our counties for a number of years. We're getting this up to date. We look at this as a level playing field now based on our census populations in our eight counties. We don't foresee at this time any increase in fundings in the future, 2 or 3 years. That's what we've been. This is a good base. It's a good balance based on the population in our eight counties of service area, which we did a survey of. So.
One other thing I would mention is that Blue Rivers and AON, which is the area agency out in the western part of the state, are the two smallest of the area agencies. There are eight around the state. And with the 2010 census, they have to refigure the formula of how they distribute the federal dollars, and it's based on population. And so the Lincoln and Omaha and some other places get a little bit more, and southeast Nebraska and western Nebraska get cut because our population. There's a base amount that everybody gets, and then the amount above that is based on population.
Where's your equipment cost in these figures?
Our equipment cost of buses?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean? We, when we go out and we have, let's see, we had one bus here in Beatrice that will have to be asked. Well, we'll have to ask attorney for that. I apologize. We don't have those figures right at this moment. We will be coming, probably have to be coming back. The federal government, Department of Roads, budgets 80%, I believe, and we ask the counties for 20% of those equipment costs. And we have to get, if you've seen our Blue Rivers buses around, we don't get the conversion vans. We get the big, like the Kensington has. So they are more costly. They do take a lot more money maintenance. That is another part of this increase in budget. They don't have four tires. They have six tires. And when you change those all out at the same time, they are more costly to run. So
how many buses do you have?
I pay bills on 20 buses. Wow. In eight counties. And Beatrice has four, and Wymore has one. So there's five of those buses here in your service area. So, and I know there is one up for renewal. That was something our former director was working on. I don't have those figures in front of me today.
So. Is that $377,000 in wages? Is that for the drivers on the 20 buses then?
That is for the wages. When it says Beatrice, that is all the Beatrice employees. There are 23 Beatrice employees and 8 Wymore employees. That is our drivers. That is our administration building. We have 13 employees at 19th and Court. And it is our Beatrice Senior Center and our Beatrice Handy Bus Office. And also the Wymore, well, that's just the Beatrice. Those are the wages for those, yes, sorry.
We're just showing the fiscal impact. You know?
Right, just, and all these people live in our service area, so they're, this money, they're here, they're living here, and the money, their wages hopefully are being spent in this.
I guess that's what I was getting at. I didn't know the footprint that was going to, if it was just here.
Right. So, and like I say, as I listed the vendors, I just thought that was interesting to know that we do try to use our vendors locally. We believe, you know, that's, you're spending, you're giving us these dollars, then we want to spend those dollars back and into the community. We, my former director told me once that every dollar that is given to us, you get to receive the benefit of $30 back in service, basically. And it's probably higher now due to inflation. A little bit, so.
This is another thing, I hate to do it, but it's another thing that we'll put on the agenda for next meeting again. We'll have the discussion on this increase in funding for Blue River Area Agency, and that'll be at our next board meeting. But we had questions as a board as to why there was an increase.
We understand that.
Those dollars were going to. We had no idea.
Sure.
I don't know if we'll approve it or not next time, but we will have discussion at our next meeting and approve it or disapprove it.
Would you like us to be back or not?
That's kind of up to you ladies, I guess.
I have some questions now.
Yeah, any questions? Yeah.
What's the total number of people you serve? You track that over the years? Has the volume increased, decreased, stayed the same?
It stayed pretty level. The census shows that a lot of our elderly are moving out of, you know, they're not a lot, but we've lost some people to, you know, Lincoln and Omaha, our clients that we serve. It's pretty level. That's something that I have never had to work with, so
That was just my census question, and that, you know, the size and the type of vehicle there, do you look at and analyze the demographics that you serve so that maybe you don't need 20 buses, maybe there's 15, and then how do you do that?
We try. Beatrice has the most buses in place. We try to have spares in counties. When a bus goes out of service, we have to ask the Department of Roads it's usually a 5-year plan, to take it out of service, to take it out of their name and put it into ours. We put it where we feel that it will be the most help. Nemaha County will, and we keep those buses in their counties because those counties have paid it. They'll have a backup bus. These buses break down. You have to have backups.
As far as the demographic of the type of, are there some folks that could get by with a minivan that would be a lower cost to operate?
The Department
everybody
of Roads tells us what we have to have.
Oh, okay.
We are pretty tied to them.
The Nebraska Department of Roads.
Nebraska Department of Roads details the van that we
have. Oh, gosh. There's a theme here, isn't there?
Yes.
Okay.
Is
that because we accept money from them?
No, I'm kidding.
Okay. Well, I recognize the safety in there.
Those to be a lot more safer than, trust me, our drivers had a real issue with taking on those big.
Yeah, they're big.
Bigger vans. They really, yes. Okay. So.
And then the increase, you'd made a comment, so I'll focus on that. The comment about increasing minimum wage, so there's about a 16% increase. I know you're here, and you didn't know I was going to ask this, but do you happen to know what's the increase in payroll secondary to the increase in the minimum wage?
I'd have to go
okay,
back
and
look
it over.
Okay,
that's a sticky wicket. You brought it up, so I asked.
Right. We have a lot of substitute bus drivers. Believe it or not, we are a public nonprofit. We are dependent upon our county's generously given us money. We're dependent upon federal grants, which they don't increase those very often. We're dependent on that sort of thing. We have a lot of people that are not even at that $9 range of pay right now. Substitutes. I mean, I believe that $9 is a fair rate, but it'll bump everybody up, not just our substitutes and our people that have just started and say they started at $9 an hour. It's going to bump them up too. So you understand, we have to do business and pay our people to do the job that they're supposed to do. So I don't know if that answers your question, but it's you know, when you're going from $8 to $9, it's big. It's big.
and these are, you know, again, I don't want to be unfair, and I'm not discounting the valuable service this provides. Just these were questions we would have asked through the budgeting process, but
sure.
I think there was some
change in, you know, the guard during that time frame, so some of the questions weren't available to me.
It just kind of got lost between you and us and everything. So, yeah. And we appreciate you coming.
That's my most cordial way to say that.
You know, you ask if you can come back, and next time that would be a good if you come back with some of those numbers. We had a few questions. I don't know if you remember all the questions, but that one there specifically, what the increase in minimum wage would do.
I could give you my business card, and if you could email them to me.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. And then I can work.
There you go. And then, you don't need to come yet. Maybe if you could email the answers back to Matt or something, you know, and stuff, so that we would have at least that for our discussion next time.
I don't want to misspeak, and I'd rather research it.
No, it'd be better, yeah. No, but if that would do, Matt will shoot you off some questions that we still have. And if we get some more answers to those, that'd be great.
Well, we know that the issues that you've had with personnel and with some changes, and so just all of a sudden coming up with these information has been real tough, and we appreciate you very much doing the temporary.
You do too.
Yes, thank you very much. This is a valuable agency, and we appreciate all you do for our elderly.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
We think so.
And then I think I visited with you, Jan, a little bit, too, about maybe the gas card. Right now, this gets all billed through us, and I don't know if you've had time to check into that.
I've actually was in a meeting with John at our building.
Okay, and you're going to look at
I just have not had time. I know
No, that's fine. And that's more for discussion than anything, but as part of our keeping track of our records, particularly down at the highway department, they bill back out all the gas and different things like that. And we didn't realize that at one time when this all went about, that option wasn't available, but now we understand it is. So if that's a possibility, you guys could get your statements and everything, and it might be cleaner for both of us. So
that would be fine. And then they would be using the Cenex. Is that it?
Well, that's one of the options.
You'd have your options. I mean,
you have your options.
There is also an option of a Shell card. I think you probably have an option with Casey's. That have a number of locations. You may have other options, but you'd have at least those three options.
Okay.
I mean,
I know I've talked to several of the people that travel around the eight counties, and the fact that they have to go to the highway office and it's closed after,
right.
Open the block and do all of that stuff.
There's some of those issues too and everything. And we've talked about it off and on for a year or two, maybe or more, and that's why we're also bringing it up now and stuff. So
I haven't talked to anybody that's not in favor of
definitely. I've talked to them too. They'll be fine with it.
And then I think we also were asking for another thing the Department of Roads is asking for is a letter of support, basically. And I think we gave you a template, a copy of something that we got from
Odo County. Right, and this, I found this morning.
This is one from Odo County.
This is just a template, yes. And it would have to have your letterhead on that with the names of your commissioners on it, is how most of them have been. So.
And this is more of a
the Department of Roads is requiring it.
Requiring that,
and they actually would like it before this next budget process, a requirement for the next budget year, 2016-2017. And I need to find out when they want that.
I'm going
to
approve this at the next meeting, then. We'll try and approve this. We'll put this letter of support on there also.
Okay.
That'll be good. We'll leave this with Dawn then, and she'll have this in our next meeting. We'll also. No, thank you. That was the other thing. I think there's three things or whatever. And then Dawn just sent here, too. Your phone lines are actually county phone lines.
Right.
I don't know if John visited with you about that, too, or not, or is not saying it. Why was that done originally, or is there a possibility?
Of course, they were here in the courthouse.
Right, but is there a possibility, I guess, of you being on your own or what? Or I mean, I don't know. These are just discussion items again.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, cost-wise. I was told it's less expensive if we're with you, but I don't know that for a fact.
That was the reason. The county was generous enough to keep us on that phone line. It saves us a lot of money in a year time. We actually require or use that as a match. We have to come up with match dollars. We use it as an in-kind match for our budget, in our administration budget. If that were to change, then we'd have to come up somewhere else with an in-kind match. It's just part of how we are funded through the Older American Act dollars. We have to have these matches. And that was, like I said, it's generous. It saves us because it's also at the senior center. It's at our office and our handy bus office in the senior center. So it's
I know it is confusing because when you call out of our office, if somebody has caller ID, it comes up.
When you called me back, it was the county's number, and I went. And then when you I think that explains that maybe a little bit because it's as much for your reasons for having that as for us, I guess. I don't know. I don't. What other?
It's not no reason for us. It's
right. It's a benefit for you, but it's a benefit of in kind dollars that's showing up.
Right.
So. Okay. That was some questions we had. We really appreciate you ladies coming.
Welcome any questions that you have.
Definitely. Yeah. And Matt, well, you may have some questions. And as long as you forward them back to him and we have those at our next meeting, we're fine. And
great.
Thank you for coming very much.
Do you have these every 2 weeks? Is that?
Yes.
Every 2 weeks. Every second, every other Wednesday, except I see in November, must be Veterans Day is on the 11th, and we're on the 12th. That'll be a Thursday, so.
And they're not always this action-packed. So.
No.
Yeah. Oh, this was interesting, though.
It was.
I'm sure that's what you were thinking.
You catch us on that. Thank you, ladies, very much for coming. No. I have to find my agenda back. Here we go. Oh, discussion on wind farm regulations.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. Thank you very much.
I think most of you know the process. The zoning board will schedule a public hearing now, maybe November, maybe December, on our adjustments to the wind farm regulations. Just everybody should have a copy of those. And it's highlighted in there the adjustments that we are proposing, not we are proposing, the county right now is proposing making. The zoning board will forward the recommendations to us. Visiting with Lisa, though, Lisa Wiegand, one of the things that the zoning board at their last meeting and in that second set of ones is some of the wording in there as far as a non-participating in that, to come up with that. And I think they realize there's some, if you read them in there, it's this or this. So they're not exactly zeroed in on a wording of that either, and that's something that if we want some input on it or whatever, we need to visit with Lisa or the zoning board or whatever too. But you need to look at those and read them and be aware of what they are, so that when, as we get closer to our meeting after the zoning board meeting here too, that if people have questions, I know Eric attended the Farmers Union wind farm thing last night, and then we also have another thing here for a conference up in Omaha later on and everything. But I'm just bringing it up more than anything. If anybody has any comments, we're more than welcome to have them, or what our changes are right now, what our proposed changes or adjustments are. If you have comments on any of those, and we'll next meeting we'll also have some comment time, so that if somebody has something they'd like to bring up, more than welcome.
Things I heard last night were the decibel levels, the 40 to 60. And I talked to Joe Woods. He's with Volkswind. I said it may be really beneficial for us to have something instead of X number decibels at this distance, to actually go out and have an illustration of, because I don't know what the decibel levels necessarily are, but I remember, you know, as I read on equipment when I buy it, this decibel level, and I'm thinking that's quieter than this, so maybe have some comparables that we can see from a distance or something like that?
Actually, at the meetings that Lincoln Lancaster Public Health put on, there was a gentleman, he presented sound versus noise, and he illustrated, and I had all that paperwork in my car, in my office, he illustrated the difference between the human ear being able to pick out the differences in decibel levels. And you had to go almost 10 to 20 decibels out to be able to pick the difference from a constant tone. But what is, and he gave the illustration of a running faucet versus a dripping faucet of the same decibel level. It's the modulation that becomes the annoyance. And it's the modulation that can stimulate the brain once it gets greater than 35 to 40 decibels. There's two neural pathways that go, and there's one that you consciously can hear. Much to your chagrin, you can hear me talking right now. But there's also the other one that is a unconscious stimulation of the brain through a different neural pathway that we don't know that we're hearing those things. But our brain is constantly stimulated, and it was showing that over a period of time that could potentially cause some sleep disturbances and the whole cascade of issues that come with that. So you weren't there, obviously, but it was really interesting, that gentleman that came in, and he works for, there's an engineering firm, and can you remember his name?
No, I can't. I know who you're talking about there, but...
But yeah. I does kind of summarize that. Yep. It was interesting that taking those, the decibel levels are very difficult to discern with the human ear, but it's the modulation that you can pick up. And that's been the disturbance that most people complain is the buffeting and the whooshing sound, and really the buffeting as one of the blades comes by the main tower and it whoop, and it bounces off, that's the modulation greater than 40 decibels that's been shown to stimulate the brain and cause some of those issues.
I've wondered, too. I was sitting on my driveway the other night, and there's a breeze coming from the north. Well, if there's no breeze from the north, I hear nothing from about a half mile away. Just a slight breeze. I could actually hear conversations that I know were coming from probably a half mile away. I could make out the words and everything, which was, it's not the first time, but I just was thinking about it at that time.
They also spoke to temperature inversions, and on a windy day, there's no temperature inversions. There's just none because the air is mixing. But it talked about the distance a sound can travel with temperature inversions, and they went into the actual differences in temperature and the distance that sound travels and how that goes.
That could be a difference in testing, too, because depending on which way the wind's blowing, the humidity in the air makes a difference.
Yeah, right.
Terry made the comment here several weeks ago when they weaned their calves. He was on the place with the weaned calves, and that one structure's three-quarters of a mile away. Above the noise of the calves, he could hear the wind direction was right, the temperature was right, everything was just right. He could hear the whoosh, whoosh above the noise of those calves yet.
And there was
Terry
had talked also about the different types of towers, and they were talking about those last night. There's a new one they've just released. It's just gone through testing in Mexico. Imagine that. I'm sure they have way more regulations there than we do. But it's going to be produced now, and it's, I don't know if you've seen those Dyson fans that blow with no blades. This is something similar to that, only in opposite, without blades.
Without blades.
There's no noise now, and it seems we're going to keep pushing Siemens and GE's turbines, I suppose, for a while yet. But
I've heard, too, though, that they said that someday we will have those. You won't have any blades on there. You'll just have a tower, and everything's going to run down to the base. There are a lot of technology they're coming up with.
Property line, where we're measuring decibels, if it's at property line or at structure.
Yep.
And then the big, big talk was, is this ag-related activity? And like I say, I passed on to the loudest adversaries to it that Myron's opinion is it is agricultural activity. So I didn't have a lot of opinion.
Now, Myron, you want to make your own statement?
I've already made it back to Eric. So. But I think, with the technology and the science that's out there that we didn't have back in 2010, that we weren't aware of, that now we have, it's difficult for the folks that have the land to be able to use for this, but now there's technology out there that shows there are some potential harmful effects, and so that's what makes it difficult. Is we look at the sound and the setbacks and those things, and you know, our population density and land use may just prohibit any wind farm of any significant size. I don't think it completely eliminates it, but you know, the technology from Mexico apparently is going to, you know, maybe that pushes these companies. I don't know.
I think 90% of it comes down to visual. People don't like to see. That's just my own opinion. You know, I'm not basing that on talking to them, but it is. That's a tough one. Some people like them. Some people don't. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of moderate people. It's either they really like them or really don't like them. And I guess personally, I wouldn't want one right behind me.
It'll be at least 3/8 of a mile away from your house. So
that doesn't seem very far when you see them. I mean, those ones over in Steel City, I see those every evening flashing.
John, you commented the only reason we don't have bigger ones here is why?
The only reason we don't have bigger ones here, as I understand it, is because the limitations on getting them to the site. The ones they're going to build offshore are even longer blades than that because they can build them that long and get them to the site. And as long as they are going down the highway, I mean, if you couldn't double the length. But if they figure out a way to get them to the site, they could go taller.
Wow. Okay, thank you.
Well, we might have that on next time, too. We'll just see, just so people are aware of it and we don't get down to the final end there. And thank you, Matt, for that information, though. So when you have questions like that, we answer some of them. Are you guys still waiting for something or not? Oh, never mind. We're about there, aren't we?
We already paid you in the claims. What are you
hanging on? My claim, I'm worried.
Oh.
We put that on the end for a reason. Yeah, I forgot about you. No, never mind. Okay, approve or disapprove participating in the Brass Association of County Officials One Care Program. And Donna, I have to explain this to us.
Card should be. Mine says card. Maybe I didn't update yours. But
One
card program is what it's supposed
card
to be.
Card program. Okay. Oh.
That makes more sense.
Yes.
I didn't know what this one care program was.
I thought it was like a health
issue. I don't know how. It's a county's officials one care program. It's the one care card program.
I thought you were throwing some new health care thing.
That's just card. That's not care either.
Myron, having sat there for 2 years, occasionally the clerk will mess up the agenda.
No,
I'm just saying.
I just didn't read it. I should have known that was a D instead of an E.
You know, I thought I made a copy of the right one because I have card on mine, so I thought it was good.
One care, one card.
It's a, yeah.
So do we have to care about the card?
Yeah.
And that is
government program.
Well, this is that card that we discussed earlier.
Right.
There are fees like for non-sufficient funds. They're going to charge you $15, a delinquency fee of 1% of the past due amount not paid by the second billing cycle, or 2.5% by each subsequent. I don't foresee that. In talking to them, they know this is set up primarily for government agencies, so they know our billing cycles and know how that works. Yes.
Byron, can I just comment on the policy?
Yeah.
This is a policy that we're looking to approve. Is that?
That'll be the next
that's
item.
That's the next agenda
okay.
item. Yeah,
okay.
The policy, yeah. No, we'll do that. This one here is to approve or disapprove participating in this program.
And this is kind of the answer of Gus's dilemma over there, and I guess that's what got us really moving forward quicker than maybe before they shut our other card off, is because he's got deputies leaving for training and things like that and needs an answer to a solution.
But I think it's valuable to discuss this policy as part of that.
Good.
That's fine.
Go ahead. Yep.
I like cardholders and cardholder responsibilities. The department head, A, Roman numeral 2, A, department head will determine that, so the departments are administering that.
Yep.
So there's accountability there. The employee assumes the risk, so if they want the card, they're assuming the risk. The cards are not going to be shared with employees, which I think is good. Go down to letter G. That in the event that the receipt does not accompany the purchase, the card privileges will be temporarily suspended. And I know at times we haven't had, in our current system, receipts through the paying process, and the department head shall retain the possession of the card, so they're, again, responsible, which I like. And then the forms in the back that I like where the employee knows full well what they're getting into because they're signing a couple different forms here. And in the third paragraph, should I fail to use this card appropriately or properly, there is ramifications that they are responsible for. So that's when I spoke to the unfortunate history we had in the past. I think that there are safeguards that if an employee gets a card, they know full well what they're getting, and they know full well their responsibility.
Right.
So that's where I'm comfortable because there's a policy. They can't say, I didn't know. And then even within the policy on page 2, it lists what is permitted and what is not permitted. So nobody can claim ignorance and lack of liability, and I guess that's what I like.
No, I
agree.
Other than you two, this is a policy that is used other places.
Yeah, and this was the only card that – for the information I'd received on other credit cards, this was the program that we come across that allows this kind of a safe hold, I guess. We can monitor, we can raise limit, lower limit, we can terminate within 5 minutes, it can be terminated.
Somebody's at training in Grand Island and they've hit their limit, they just got to notify Gus. Gus has to notify the office and go in and adjust that up or down.
Wait, are you going to set a limit?
That was my question.
Yes, no, that'll be the next thing that we'll come back with the board to determine
who. I'm not setting it today.
No, because I have to get names from individuals, the departments, who wants cards, so the board needs to authorize who they're allowing cards to and the limits that they want to allow or what limits, you know. But this is our first step, I guess.
And would it be a true statement that if for some reason an employee doesn't want a card and they want to pay for it there by themselves and then submit that claim, we still have a process for that?
Yes. Yes.
The problem is they always whack your sales tax and then she gets upset at me.
Yeah. Now, if it's a county purchase and they know they're going to do that, we have the forms that they can take and say that this is a county purchase. But some entities won't, and that's the risk that you do take, is that we may not be able to reimburse you, because just this last audit we have the state auditors. They did jump on us again about sales tax. So,
but even if you
why wouldn't they just, like, if I did that, which I've done in the past, why can't they just deduct the sales tax? I'll pay the darn sales tax.
And we can.
It's a convenience.
And we can.
I'm not hurting the county any. That's my point.
And we can. And we have done that where we don't refund them the sales tax.
But there are options. If for some reason an employee doesn't want to be responsible for that card, then
there's other options.
So they're not painted into a corner. We don't need to.
This one, for instance, Roger, too, if you're going to some convention or something and you know you're going to spend, if you had a $250 limit, you know you're going to go over that ahead of time, you can, Dawn and she can up your, she can up the limit right away.
Roger, what we've ended up doing for our conference that we're required to go to is they pre-bill it or some darn thing.
I have direct billing, so if we set up for direct billing for hotels, motels,
but that's one where I did that, I put it on my card.
We avoid all of those charges.
And the county wasn't happy with me paying sales tax. And I didn't even think about that.
I am absolutely not trying to be coy, but I want to. Is this considered a management right if you change a business practice? Is this something we may have to negotiate with somebody?
It will, because it affects the pocketbook, and that's one thing we'll have to take.
So we'll. So us.
What I was told, what the legal counsel told me a long time ago when I started getting frustrated and all this stuff with the union, is any time it affects your pocketbook in any manner, I have to get something in writing that they'll sign off on it, or it has to be some negotiation. So here the only thing that affects them probably is if they're going to use their own card, then obviously, like you're saying, their issue there with the sales tax. And it might be somebody that won't take the form, and therefore they have sales tax expense. The other side's going to be if they have a county card and they lose, which happens once in a while, if somebody loses their receipt, we don't reimburse them for that, because if they got their own card, you're responsible for that. If you don't get a receipt, you're paying for that yourself. That's going to affect their pocketbook. So I imagine I'll have to, I think the president's working today, I'll probably talk to him a little bit about what it's involving. So last time I talked to him, just took on it basically with him, just briefly, what Don and I talked about, he said, well, as long as we get reimbursed for any late fees or any interest and all this and this and that, you know, and so I think it's better we get something.
But the last time the president agreed with you regarding something.
Yeah, well, we won't go there.
And as I understand, this is an answer to the problem that you're currently having, because they're going to shut those cards off and then they have no credit card over there.
Yep. So I gotta have
that benefit. Affects their pocketbook as well. So we don't have an option.
Yeah. This is countywide. This would be for everybody. We're not singling any.
Countywide.
We have to change operations because an external force is causing us.
Right. We will lose the credit card when the credit card is done. When they our termination date, we do not have a credit card unless one of you put your Social Security number on there and is responsible for all the charges of the county. I personally refuse to do that. So somebody else wants to step forward, we can continue with
these cards.
Take an FIN number.
They won't take it. They will not talk to us at all about our account. They flat out have told us.
Well, this new card system, our Social Security number will be on that one. Your personal level.
It will be yours for your card.
That card.
You will, if your card that you're issued has Miller Gustafson, your card number, your Social Security number is attached to the paperwork, not on the card. Just internally onto the paperwork.
So is it policy, and I can't remember, if somebody loses a receipt, is that stated in there you're on your own, unless you can find it?
Yep.
It's specific. Okay.
We have to investigate it and see what it is.
Specific in there,
You make sure you get this when you're talking to
whoever. Yeah, I'll get a rough call before I leave.
You get a copy of that, because that's what we'll be approving here in a minute.
I've got another one here, Cass.
That's good.
Let's go. All right, very good.
Because that's the next thing we're on the agenda to approve, is that policy. Okay.
Very good.
Okay. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove participating in the Nebraska Association of County Officials One Card Program.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Thiemann, seconded by Bauman. Vote. And you need to change Juergens, but it's 5-0. 5-0 with Juergens and Lytle absent. The next up, approve or disapprove Gage County Purchase Card Policy. And this is what the board will approve for this card.
Unless somebody has other things they want to add on or change.
I'd make a motion to approve.
Second. And we can
motion by Bauman, seconded by Thiemann. Yeah. Questions?
If we would have issues with this in the weeks following, we could always make an amendment to it.
We can make amendments to it, yes. Mm-hmm. Vote 5-0. Next, we'll have need a motion to go into closed session, update on litigation for the protection of the public interest. And Scott, just so you know there, that next one there on the agenda, that's the only thing that we plan on coming out of. We will have on the agenda to approve or disapprove, and I believe it's $206,000 and something. You have to subtract that from the other, the 608 number to come up with the exact amount. We don't have that on there, but that is on the agenda to approve. But that's the only thing we'll be here's the number, $206,830.91, authorizing for payment. And I'll just say that there still is ongoing negotiations with them. This dollar amount, a lot of this is the retainage fee that we owe them, and then we're going to go ahead and make this payment. Or that will be what that item is for.
These amounts, we've narrowed it down that these are not contested.
Yeah.
We're going to get it paid.
The $206,000 is an amount that aren't contested. So we still have other things yet. We are, Rogers, in conversation with them yet. So we haven't come to a complete agreement.
I
need a motion to go into executive session.
Second.
Motion by Thiemann, second by Hill. Vote at 5-0 at 11:54. We'll go into closed session.
You know, you're going to
12:23.
Hold it. We need the mic on.
Now you're on.
Now, entertain a motion to come out of executive session at 12:23.
Second.
Motion by Thiemann, second by Byers. Vote 5-0. Okay. Now entertain a motion to approve or disapprove the claim to constructors in the amount of $206,830.91.
With this claim.
With this claim added to the total claim audit will be $815,727.19. Thank you.
Move to approve pay request number 3. For $206,830.91, changing credit claims to $815,727.19.
Motion, we have a second?
Perhaps not.
We don't have a second?
We don't have a second.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Thiemann, second by Bauman. Now discussion. And Galen, when you come up and explain a little bit that how that figure is arrived at.
Okay, the figure was the original pay application number 3, which was $110,054.66, and then also for the retainage, which was $96,776.25, and that came up to the total of that $206,830.91.
Give me those numbers one more time. 110 what?
$110,054.66.
Okay. And then the retainage that we retained on the Wymore Liberty Road, was that part of the retainage that we retained? The
retainage was $96,776.25.
Okay. And that's where that total of $206,830.91 comes in.
Yes.
And just so we're on record, yet there still is an issue of some dollar amounts yet that of some work that they did that Roger is still in negotiation with. So that's on record also. So this does not constitute the final settlement, but the county is proposing to make this payment as we go forward for a show of good faith.
Correct.
Okay. Any more questions, comments?
I guess my thought is that the warranty date should be settled before this claim is settled, is my thought on this. It just seems like that won't have less chance of getting settled down the road.
Roger's still negotiating with him or visiting with him about that also yet. So that,
that was
not
one,
been
that's
settled.
One of the points of discussion is getting an extended warranty, and that's something we're working with Mark's group and Galen, trying to find a date that's going to be operative for that warranty to go through.
Mark, is that you that thought July is the good time, or that's
well,
what we should be?
Well, through a season, the spring season,
we should have
an harvest is the other.
Should have an idea if we have problems by then.
If you got problems, you're going to know this fall. Actually, yep. You didn't know last fall. That's a lot better. But this fall, we'll see.
Can we approve this claim based on the idea, on their acceptance of a warranty date? You know, we approve the claim, and this is the warranty date.
That's a question for Ryan.
I would say I was going to really put it, you know, I mean, they're separate issues. Because then you're going to get into some, you know, like when was the project completed? Because that typically, as Mr. Minnelli knows, is when your warranty period starts. And I just do not have to sit here and argue about whether it was May 15th, June 15th, July 15th, whenever. I don't even have those dates in mind. But, you know, I think the deal, our concern that I brought from the board was with the issues we raised, is that product going to be good through the initial period that was in the contract? And that's what we're trying to do is get that little added assurance that they'll stand behind the product.
I'll just make this comment. I think the board needs to leave that decision up to Roger and how he can get that negotiated, I guess. Not up to Roger, but how Roger can get that negotiated.
And whatever I get, it will come back to you folks on that. The money you're doing right now, approving right now, is money that basically the group and our discussions, not only is it good faith, but it's basically product that we owe. Okay? And that's based on the expert that I'm talking to, and I trust him. If you ever get into a battle in the court and you haven't paid what you owe somebody, you get to pay interest on it. Right now, I don't think we're making much interest on that money sitting in our accounts. And judgment interest is significantly higher. So it accomplishes more than one purpose by doing that. I mean, I firmly believe that I think the parties, both the county and constructors, want to get this thing resolved. And I think this is a good gesture from the county saying, we're not going to hold this back. And that's all I'm going to say to
you. Let me rephrase my comment. I'll just say this. Roger's definitely working in the best interest of this county.
Right, right.
Okay. And I think we have to have some confidence in Roger being able to get that done.
That's scary.
I want to break on you now, not later.
Can we talk about a rate?
Well, I mean, I'm just making a comment to John. That, no, I understand what we need the warranty work for.
No,
but we also, at the same time, this is, showing good faith maybe to them that, again, off the record, but hopefully they're bidding here November 15th.
Well, and I think that's the deal is you're going to do business with roads in the future. And hopefully, I think constructors want us to business down here in age, so.
But I guess the way you described that, as far as the warranty date, I mean, it's based on the completion date, I mean, and not some negotiated date with them.
This will be a negotiated date.
The completion date's done.
We're
it's passed.
Out of warranty.
See, that's the deal. So,
realistically, if it's at end of construction till now, our warranty's over. Is that correct?
Don't say that on the record.
There's a good chance that our warranty may
Your point's well taken, and that's.
There's a possibility.
I mean,
okay,
when that is done. We'll
I've heard that. Let's say that.
Any more discussion? Vote 5-0. Anything else for the good of the order or cause or whatever? Thank you for staying around here, Mark.
Did you guys want to come out of session? I got a couple of things that
we're out of session.
Okay,
we voted on that. Yeah.
The 318 LR 318.
Come up to the mic a little bit there, just
yeah. LR 318. Just to throw it out. That's that legislative study they're doing on funding. We've had a couple of hearings. They had one in Norfolk. There's one tomorrow in Grand Island. There's one coming up in Crete. There's one coming up in Bellevue. Galen had the dates. And then there's the one at the Capitol. And this is Senator Smith's going across the state looking for alternate funding sources. But what I've been hearing in some of these is that same language that we heard on that 609 bill.
That bridge.
So
that sucker's going to come back.
Well, it is. And so he's taking public comment, and then they're making comments, and that's what I'm hearing. So, you know, try to get it on your calendar to go to those. And then, of course, I'll be harping on you guys coming down to the main hearing, which is at the Capitol.
So they're looking at repackaging that, but still doing those regional bridge?
I don't know. He's going around saying, here's my agenda items for that. Like when he was in Norfolk, the whole thing is they want a four-lane 275 in Norfolk because it'll make the state billions.
So you're going to start making Teslas there or what?
This is off, right?
No. So,
no, it's on.
Okay.
So I have to adjourn if you...
Well, that's what Ernie Goss's statement was that if you build four-lane, the economic growth and development to a community is...
That's been the toughest thing with Beatrice is we've grown so fast after our four-lane that it's hard for us to keep up.
It is hard work. So the point is they had a hearing and they discussed, industry showed up, talked about some roads we've done up there, the Northeast Industrial Highway with public-private partnerships, how else can we fund this stuff, and blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, there's, you know, the senator usually gets a shot to throw his intent out there, and he does. And then they were out west, and now Larry Dix, you'll hear him when you go, hopefully you go to the Southeast District meeting, because he'll give a report to you guys of what his opinion is of all that. And of course, he's your lobbyist, not mine, but you got to listen very closely because, you know, you got your 10% on the federal aid. That's because you guys made a good case to the new director and the governor. You got that. And you guys were loud and clear about that at all those. So the governor came through for us. Got the gas tax because you guys were loud and clear, and everybody's putting programs together to spend that money appropriately. I'm not hearing anybody reducing mill levies because they aren't getting a gas tax. That's what they're looking at. And then now they're coming back for this design build, and which.
But we can show orange trucks with red roofs.
Thank you.
But we can show by example that we've completed bridge projects having control locally a heck of a lot faster.
Yes.
Than, and case in point, exactly what's taking place up in your neck of the woods. They got involved in the Adams
West project.
You know, so and that's not just to try and be coy or be sensationalist. Look at how we were able to get these things done, and now it's slowing down.
Just keep that in mind. Those big players have big voices,
and they're using them right now.
Yes, so, they do.
So just know that, and then I've been talking to some of the NIC board members, just saying, hey, pay attention at your legislative deal where you vote, whether or not we're for it or against it. Because last time, you know, they have so many of them. Have any of you guys ever been on that board? Haven't? I mean, they've got 150 bills they've got to say. Are we
well, they used to go
for?
Through.
So it's just like.
But at the one NACO meeting, they used to go through, and they would do. They started like at three or four, one afternoon, and they would go through every
and
bill.
And that's in October.
And they would say, but they've changed the date of that. They changed
like October 16th.
Yeah, legislative meeting.
It's separate now because it used to be the entire forum was there. Because I remember sitting next to Dave Anderson, and we'd go through.
Now it's just the board members.
Well, it's not.
It's for everybody. Everybody can attend it. It's the 16th. They just send a thing out.
But it's
again.
A separate meeting. It used to be the fall meeting.
Is Larry Dix going to be
before the next session started? They would say these are the ones we're thinking of supporting, and then people would say, hey, yes, or they would be discussing.
Okay. It
It'd take an hour or two to go through them.
Oh, I can imagine. It's just everything. But and listen, if you're for it, well, okay. But and there's nothing to be for or against just yet. This is just a study to
this
come up.
This is a resolution. This is strictly this.
This is just a study.
Yeah. Larry Dix was on the odd end of the stack the last time. I don't know. He explained himself a little bit on that, but
yeah, he explained,
I don't know if he was around there.
He explained a little
on that
bit, and you could tell he was not
hard.
At that meeting, he was not on the side that most of the people at that meeting were on.
And he was backpedaling while
he was backpedaling some. No, I know that, but I mean, that was just Larry Dix out there at Kearney when Eric and I were out there. But Larry Dix was definitely not on, and you could tell he knew that there was more people opposed to what side he was on than what he was trying to present.
Well, we'll see where he goes with it.
Meeting adjourned, 12:36.